I'll be right back. Ah, much better. All right. I believe we're at 2 o'clock if we're in a position to begin. AGP?
I think they've set up, so probably, let's see.
Normally advises when he's going to begin.
Go ahead, Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
Oh, Bob Lloyd's trapped in the participant.
I got him.
Okay.
See him down there.
All right.
Sorry. I think you said, are you all ready?
Yeah, I'll call you the phone number.
I'm so sorry. You. I was in the wrong Zoom meeting. Pablo with AGP Video. We are ready and recording.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Lloyd. I appreciate that. All right. Thank you for being here for our call to order on the Cambria Community Services District for Thursday, March 11th, 2021. And with the call to order, we will progress to the Pledge of Allegiance. Will you join me, please, in the pledge? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And we return for the establishment of a quorum, and we have all directors here and present. Thank you. And we'll move on to item 1D, which is the agenda review. Does anyone have any additions or deletions related to the agenda? Director Dean.
May we move the item 4C on the discussion regarding the name of the sustainable water facility up a little higher in the agenda, because I think we have a lot of people here who wish to speak, so it's going to take some time.
Okay, certainly. What's your suggestion? Do you want to take it first, or do you want to?
Let's go ahead and do A first, and then do C, B, and D.
All right. So the new order for the agenda, if there's no objection by any of the other board members, will be A, C, B, and then D?
A, C, D, and then B.
Oh, all right.
That works.
All right. A, C, D, then B.
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any options or changes from any of the other board members? Okay, seeing none, we will go ahead and adjust the agenda for that in that case. So we'll move on to the commission report, the PROS report. I don't know if there's someone else who's standing in for, Mr. Barringer.
Yes. Okay.
Standing in for Steve, because I understand he's getting his first jab today.
Yes.
Excellent.
So I can't do as well as Steve, and certainly no jokes, but just to start, I wanted to make sure that people, the public, knew that the Friends of the Fiscally New Ranch report from time to time at the PROS Commission meeting. They've kept the ranch open during COVID, which I think is very laudable. They have volunteers that do hundreds of hours of work, getting rid of invasive plants and planting new trees, and have helped the district quite a bit maintain the openness of that property. I know it's expensive for the district, but the Friends help out a lot, not only with volunteer hours, but in removing trees, etc. And also Carlos is at those meetings. And I just want to remark again, and I think everybody recognizes that he has treated the encampments and the movement of encampments in a very humane way. He's just an outstanding, outstanding employee. And just as part of the PROS Commission, I want to recognize him for the great work he's done. At the last meeting, we are continuing to focus on two projects. The number one is the skate park and all of the issues that are resolved with that. When we left, we were going to probably do 2-week updates because the youth of the community and the backers behind, the financial backers behind the project understand we need to work faster as a government agency. And so we're trying to do updates every 2 weeks. Spawn Ranch had a contract that hadn't been signed by them as of the last meeting. And maybe the general manager can update us on the status of that contract.
GM Weigold, are you available?
John, did you get that? Was that contract signed by Spawn Ranch yet? It was imminent, and I don't know whether it is or not.
So we have not signed it. We got an updated estimate and cost, which is about $4,000 to $5,000 higher than the original one. That's still within our budget line. So I don't have to come back to the board for more money on that. That additional cost was for drafting modeling, primarily because of grading and drainage plan for that lot. As you know, that's right on the edge of the hill there. And particularly after the last storm, we saw a lot of storm drainage and runoff there, and that's going to have to be handled on site. So underground, typically what happens is underground vaults get dug and installed underground, so you retain the drainage on site.
All right, well, thanks for the update, Mr. Weigold. But as I said, we were going to be meeting every 2 weeks just to keep this process going. Hopefully, when Steve convenes the next meeting, we're going to have hopefully another update. And the second priority for the PROS Commission has been restrooms on the ranch. And Civil Design Studios is taking a concept to the level of being permitted and doing the groundwork and the civil design work. And that is in progress. And next time we'll give you a better update on the progress of that. There is enough money there for them to do it, and they're commencing the work. With that, thank you for
inviting me. Thank you for the feedback. It's appreciated. Okay. And thank you for being here today.
Okay.
So with the completion of that report, we'd be moving on to public comment. But before we do that, first I wanted to address something. Between social media and emails, there are several in the community who feel that I owe Director Farmer an apology for my action at a prior board meeting. And I stated at the time why I had interrupted the conversation and regarding a comment on a public comment. But in resolution of this, it really doesn't matter what I think or what anyone else thinks. It really is what you think that should be addressed, Director Farmer. So I'll ask you directly, do you feel that I owe you an apology?
Muted.
Sorry, but you're muted.
Since I didn't realize that you were actually going to ask me this question right at the beginning of the meeting, I feel it was a little bit awkward at the time, the way you just kind of, how could I say it, wouldn't allow me to continue making my comments and responding to what public comment had been. I felt that you were a little bit out of line. And as some people have said, that both our policy with regard to board members making comments, as well as the Brown Act, did allow me to proceed in what I was stating. So it does appear as if you were out of line in doing what you did, and I certainly felt uncomfortable with it, and I was a bit surprised that no board member or council didn't say anything on my behalf. I appreciate the fact that you're bringing it up right now. Let me just say this much. I'll leave it up to you whether you feel you owe me an apology or not.
Well, it's obvious to me that you were bothered by it. And so that being the case, I offer a sincere apology to you. And I will for the future rely entirely on the district council to intervene when appropriate for any circumstance.
Okay.
All right. No, Director Gray?
I don't know if this is out of order now, but I wonder at this point, so we prevent future misunderstandings like this, if we could get some guideline, very brief guideline from District Council now as to how these situations should be handled, because I guess we're talking about the case and then a board member commenting on the comment. I would like to know, I think we all would like to know, what are the limits to doing that under the Brown Act and relevant laws?
The Brown Act does permit board members to respond briefly to public comment, to ask questions of staff. There is some leeway in doing so. It's just to underscore the fact that it has to be brief. If it's not brief, you'll usually find that I'll interrupt you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because, yeah, the reason I ask is that there's this general prohibition against out of off agenda items becoming subject to discussion by board members. So I don't know yet where the brief response ends and the discussion starts is kind of the point where I was curious about.
It's a gray area that I'm supposed to monitor very closely. Usually if I hear another person chime in on the same subject, I'll interrupt and say, this is not on an agenda. We can agendize it if you'd like, but let's stop the conversation.
Thank you.
All right. Any other?
Director, Vice President Howell has his hand up.
Thank you. Vice President Howell, you are still on mute.
Thank you. Just can you see when I raise my yellow hand, President Seidel? Can you see it? I'm going to raise it now just to check. Can you see it?
Hang on just a second.
Yeah.
And
it's up. I'm just curious because maybe I just need to do this instead.
Yes, I do have it. Yes.
Okay, cool.
Unfortunately, I didn't have that side of the display up at the moment. And so that was the issue.
Got it. Okay. I just was making sure things work. Just to kind of put the cap on this particular, for everybody's benefit, I'm going to read the relevant paragraph of our own bylaws. Very short.
Okay.
Board members may, and this is during general public comment, board members may, on their initiative or in response to public questions, ask questions for clarification, provide references to staff or other resources for factual information, or request staff to report back at a subsequent meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
If you'd like, I'd gladly read the Brown Act portion, which reflects almost the exact same language. Excuse me. No action or discussion shall be undertaken on any item not appearing on the posted agenda, except that members of the legislative body or staff may briefly respond to statements made or questions posed by persons exercising their public testimony rights under Section 54954.3. In addition, on their own initiative or in response to questions posed by the public, a member of the legislative body or its staff may ask a question for clarification, make a brief announcement, or make a brief report on his or her own activities. Furthermore, a member of the legislative body or body itself, subject to the rules and procedures of the body, may provide a reference to staff or other resources for factual information, request staff to report back to the body at a subsequent meeting concerning any matter, or take action to direct staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Carmel. I do have a question. There doesn't appear to be a position that is readily defined for perhaps directors who may have public service announcements that they would like to provide. Is that a function that can happen prior to the initiation of public comment or just before initiating public comment?
Is that for me?
Yes, please.
Typically, the item we would use for that, we don't have, which is board communications. And we can, of course, include that on an agenda. And it's a handy thing to have because it allows announcements of, you know, community activities, important right. events. So we may want to consider adding that to one or both agendas each month.
All right. That would be an excellent opportunity. And because I do think that there are times when that would be of value to the community as a whole. So we'll look to have a conversation about that then at the agenda review meetings to see about instituting that. Thank you. What I would like to do then, unless anyone else has something else they'd like to offer, Director Dean? You're still muted, sorry.
Sorry. May I ask District Council if I may make a public announcement as a private person rather than as a board member about an upcoming meeting that's going to happen before our next agenda is put out?
Perfectly acceptable.
Thank you.
Please go ahead, Director Dean.
Okay. I just wanted to let the public know, since so many people are concerned about the Rat Creek washout, that at the NCAC meeting next Wednesday night at 6:30, the chair of the NCAC Transportation Committee, Aaron Lynn, has invited Kevin Drabinski, who's the public information officer for Caltrans District 5, to come and discuss what they're doing with the Rat Creek slide, the fix they've decided on, the progress of it, and the timeline for the reopening. And he's going to have some photos to screen share, and he's going to be taking questions from the public. So I just wanted to let the public know who are concerned about the roadway going up Highway 1 that Caltrans will be doing a presentation next Wednesday at the NCAC meeting. Thank you.
I'm sure there are any number of people that will be interested in hearing what he has to offer on that. So thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you.
Director Gray?
The meeting time is still 6:30, right?
Yes, and the link for it is on their website, ncacslow.org.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. What I'd like to do then is go ahead and move on to item three, which is public comment. And Osana, do we have attendees who wish to have public comment?
Yes, and I also have written comments. So we'll go with the raised hands first.
Please.
Okay. Ted Key, go ahead.
Good afternoon, board. I wasn't able to attend your last meeting where you discussed the money that you have obtained from the lawsuit. I know that many people were talking about taking that money and putting reserves, which I think is certainly a good idea, but it's come to my attention that your meters around the entire Cambria area are starting to die and are irreplaceable. And I guess the amount of money to replace them is approximately the same amount of money that you have obtained through this lawsuit. All I can say is I don't know how you're going to be able to conduct business appropriately without cash registers. And those are your cash registers. So if you were asking me, I would say that would be a really good way to spend that money. Although, honestly, to tell you the truth, I would love to see that money spent towards more research and exploring the Warren Ranch Reservoir, which I think is going to be the final solution to our water problems here in Cambria. But I'm not going to go into that direction right now. Certainly without your cash registers at each household, you are not going to be able to charge appropriately for the water that you are delivering to your customers. So give that some thought. That's all I have to say at this time. I'll see you later with a couple more comments. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Key. Osana?
Yes. Tina Dickinson, go ahead.
Thank you, Osana. Thank you, Chair Stidell. I wish to address my concerns today about how meetings are currently being conducted with regard to public input. It is becoming more and more evident to me that under the direction of the new board, public input is being marginalized. If indeed one of the goals from the strategic planning meeting's three-year goals is to attempt to improve communications with the public, I am not seeing evidence of that since the new board was seated in December 2020. There are individuals who choose to participate in CCSD board and standing committee meetings for many reasons, but I would say they attend primarily because they care about the business of their CCSD. What I'm currently witnessing in the apparent desire to limit input from the community is a desire to sometimes ignore a raised hand, or in my case, on a couple of occasions, a raised hand acknowledged but told that the length of the agenda was at issue and there was not time to take my comments. I don't find that acceptable at all. This is our opportunity as members of the public to engage or to bring to your attention issues that we have concerns about, etc. I am glad that the issue with Director Farmer has been resolved, although I did not care for the way it was resolved. It should have been resolved, I felt, on the day when that happened. And I thank legal counsel for now bringing everybody up to speed, because some of us do pay attention to the Brown Act and we're not on the board. We were well aware that there was an issue then. So I thank you for that clarification, but I am really imploring this new board with a new president to be much more willing to reach out to the community in a way that makes us feel good about you and the way that you are communicating with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickinson.
Michael Calderwood, go ahead.
Good afternoon. I think that horse fell his little life, and so I'm going to beat it a bit here. I read both the board guidelines and also the Brown Act stuff. And while I appreciate the feedback and the conversation today, I still think that that issue lingers a little bit because there's a real, as Council Carmel mentioned, a real gray area as to who makes the judgment when it extends. If you look at the discussion and the action that took place that sort of raised this issue, one could argue that Director Farmer in this particular case did sort of stray out of bounds and that the reminder was not totally inappropriate, although awkward. I will agree with that. I recall in past board meetings when directors wish to express a personal opinion or a comment outside of what was directly in front of them, They came out from behind the oak and stood and spoke as a citizen rather than as a member of the board. I don't know if that's appropriate or if that's technically allowed during a board meeting for a director to step outside that role and make their comment and then resume their position behind the desk there, but something to consider if in fact there are pressing issues that need to be addressed in that fashion. And as a member of the community, I appreciate the passion both of the community and of the all of the people who volunteer their time and put themselves out there to represent the community and all the good and bad that comes with that. So thank you for your service. And as a community member, I'm going to strive to be more inclusive of my thoughts, but also more proactive in putting forth sort of positive solutions rather than just venting my spleen. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Calderwood. Osana?
Hello?
Yeah, Osana, you're muted.
Yeah. Oh, Steve Puglisi, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Madam President, members of the board, Steve Puglisi. I'm with you this evening, afternoon, representing Dr. Boris Pilch. As you, I trust, are aware, Dr. Pilch is attempting to process an application for a 12-minute affordable housing project in Cambria. We've had some, what I consider very, very good experiences over this past year with San Luis Obispo County Planning, Engineering, and Public Works staff, namely Jay Johnson before his departure. Shawnee Sang has been working with us most recently, and so has Steve McMasters. I want you to know, folks, I've also reached out to Brian O'Neill. I've had a working relationship with Brian with the California State Coastal Commission for a number of years. And although they are not allowed to have a position on a project until we make formal application, it was made very clear to me that both the Coastal Commission staff and San Luis Obispo County staff will be very supportive of our project. What do I need from you folks? I need a intent to serve letter, not a will serve. I know you folks are not in the position to do that, but an intent to serve, something that can show the good faith of the community services district to the county to allow the county to then continue with the processing of this application. It's certainly going to take us another year to get through that process, but we need your help. And to that end, I've written a letter. I trust you all have it. And hopefully, with the direction of your board, I can begin to work with your staff in coming before you formally with this request at a subsequent meeting. And let's see if we can't get this process moving. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Puglisi. And I apologize if I stumbled over that name. It is Puglisi. Is that correct, sir?
That's close enough. That's
close enough. What is it? What is the correct term?
Well, now, if you were in Italy, you would refer to me as Pugliesi.
Okay.
My family has always called it Puglisi or Puglisi. I'm comfortable Puglisi. With just about anything.
Okay. Thank you very much. I wanted to be able to at least pronounce it correctly. I appreciate that. Osana?
Yes, Michael Lyons, go ahead.
Thank you very much. During the last CCSD meeting, I listened patiently as several members of the public made all kinds of inaccurate claims about the costs, delays, and even uselessness of our EWS-SWF. This is a good example of a continuing and seemingly endless effort to discredit what the majority of Cambrians view as necessary for our survival in case of another and quite likely lengthy period of extreme drought. It's a reminder that we, the taxpayers, have repeatedly confirmed that we are willing to pay the price for water security. The claim that the facility has cost too much or has been delayed too long I'd say that the very same people who complain about costs and delays have been at least partly the cause of these costs and delays. There's been a concerted campaign to discredit our project by appealing to various public agencies, including the Regional and State Water Quality Control Board, the County Board of Supervisors, and the Coastal Commission, to say nothing of the constant efforts to delay progress by our own CCSD and objecting to every aspect of it. To the claim that sending our water to the South Coast Water Treatment Plant before it is disposed of, they failed to mention that this facility operates under strict licensing by several state agencies. First, we treat the water at our own plant here, then the EWS plant treats it there with their filters and UV light and the latest technologies, and then we send it to the South County who treats it again before disposal. Do you really think that the state, federal, and county water authorities would allow anything dangerous to be added to the Pacific Ocean? As to the possibility of disposing of brine at the San Simeon permitted outfall, does anybody think that these same agencies are ever going to allow any dangerous material to be disposed there? Remember that the brine is basically a concentrated saltwater solution, having been filtered and pumped and exposed to UV light and not anywhere near as salty as the seawater it would be combined with. In short, I'm sure it's not lost on this board that the same people who are constantly complaining about delays and costs to our ratepayers are there burdening with our ratepayers with the very same ideas. They have caused these things to happen and they don't have a right to complain. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lyons.
Thank you, Mr. Lyons. Elizabeth Bettenhausen, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary and Madam President. David Attenborough, whom you probably well know, wrote the foreword to a new global study that was just released in Great Britain, The Economics of Biodiversity. He writes in the foreword, "The biodiversity of the world is still immense, and therein lies the strength that has enabled much of its wildlife to survive until now. Economists understand the wisdom of spreading their investments across a wide range of activities. It enables them to withstand disasters that may strike any one particular asset. The same is true in the natural world. If conditions change either climatically or as a consequence of a new development in the never-ending competition between species, the ecosystem as a whole is able to maintain its vigor," he continues. "But consider the following facts," and I laugh because it's still in my head. I can't believe I read this and he said it. "Today, we ourselves," he writes, "together with the livestock we rear for food, constitute 96% of the mass of all mammals on the planet. Only 4% is everything else, from elephants to badgers, from moose to monkeys. And 70% of all birds alive at this moment are poultry, mostly chickens for us to eat. We are destroying biodiversity, the very characteristic that until now enabled the natural world to flourish abundantly. If we continue this damage," he says, "whole ecosystems will collapse. That is now a real risk. The book is about," I continue now, "economics and biodiversity. And here in Cambria, we have an opportunity to invest our time, energy, and money in a wide range of activities integral to ecosystems. If we look at Santa Rosa Creek and San Simeon Creek, supporting their ecosystems ensures us, humans, a basic supply of potable water. If we protect the ecosystem of the steelhead, the fish that the general manager saw during the flood recently swim across Windsor, if we protect the ecosystem of the steelhead, we protect ourselves too. We will not have to swim across Windsor. If we protect the intricate ecosystem of life in and along San Simeon Creek, we make it more likely that drinkable water will come from CCSD wells. Essential protection applies to the Center Street Park and the Crosstown Trail, to the wetlands along Highway 1 and the lots donated to conservation. It applies to the ancient forests in which we live, at least while it lasts, The Monterey Pine Forest and Fiscalini Ranch Preserve are not resources primarily for entertainment. They are non-negotiable components of biodiversity in Cambria, on which the economy of the town most certainly depends.
Dr. Bettenhausen, you've exceeded your 3 minutes. Can you finish?
May I read my last sentence?
Absolutely.
Thank you. No matter the topic of our various agendas in Cambria, if we act to save biodiversity, we act for our own human well-being too. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I can send you the book. Title.
That would be appreciated. Pages. I wrote down the title.
No, it's 600 pages. I won't send the book.
Oh, it may take a while then. Osana?
Thank you. Thank you. Christine Heinrichs, go ahead. Unmute, please.
Yes, thank you. Madam President, since you became president, you have restricted public comment to only regular business items and made it the first item before the staff reports. At the last meeting, you interrupted Director Farmer and silenced him, and I am glad that you have taken the time to resolve that today. While staff reports are included in the agenda packet, department heads often provide additional information when they give their reports. The public is deprived of the opportunity to comment on the staff's oral report when public comment is allowed only before the report is given. The board hired an expert to assist in developing a strategic plan. The top goal the board adopted from that process is improving communication with the public. Can you explain and invite the other directors to discuss how restricting public and director participation serves the goal of improved communications? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. And to your question, that is not something that we would be discussing now as it's not on the board agenda.
Thank you. We have Scott. Go ahead. And unmute yourself, please.
I am now unmuted. Well, first, I wanted to commend Director Steidel on addressing the issue that happened at the last board meeting, because I was going to also address it. So thank you. And as has just been said, the goals of increased communication and improving communication with the public, I think, starts right here and right now with you folks. And so that was an extremely it was a wonderful example of just addressing an issue and taking care of it. So thank you very much. Secondly, I wanted to express my full support. Actually, this was written by Bob Reed, who has sent his comments in writing. I'm just going to read a few sentences that he wrote, because he expressed it exactly as I would have written it myself. He says, I want to express my full support for restoring the name of the water facility back to its original project title of Emergency Water Supply. It's very important to correctly and accurately refer to this important project intended to serve Cambria during water emergencies. This is not a case of what's in a name, that which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. No, this name change is very much a case of integrity and accuracy. Words have meaning, words have intent, words create actions, and words create problems and conflicts as much as solutions. So I urge this CCSD board to act today to restore the accurate name of the facility to Emergency Water Supply and to proceed with permitting it as such. And finally, I guess I would just observe some previous comments that talked about complaining. And, you know, I think, you know, the public discourse nationally has led me to believe that, you know, loaded words are just tough, because are whistleblowers complainers, or are they accurate observers of anomalies? You know, it goes both ways. So I'm hoping in our future discussions, we can keep it more objective and fact-based and with everybody's best intentions of moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Scott. We have Julie Amodei. Go ahead.
Thank you, Osana. Julie Amade for Skate Cambria and the Skate Park Initiative. First, I'd like to say thank you to Mr. Weigel. I do feel like we're very close to a signature getting onto a contract. However, we have been at this for 9 months, and I'm very concerned about the $177,000 grant that is yet to be addressed directly or written. So I want to bring up the grant and want to make sure that when we're asking the question, where is the money coming from? Obviously, we are doing our part as an initiative to privately fundraise. We are going to continue to do that. Our next fundraiser is set for April 2nd. But this is, as Steve Niffen put, money sitting right in your front yard and very easily obtainable. So I'm just going to ask Mr. Weigel, if you don't mind, where we are in regards to the grant at this time. Thank you.
So nothing new to report to the board on the grant application. That happens after we get a signed contract with a builder to construct it. But before that, we have a number of items to do, go through for that proposal, including board direction to proceed following its review of the design and costs.
Thank you, GM Weigold. Hopefully, Ms. Amade, that will give some perspective to the things that need to happen in progress to move forward in being able to attain a skate park for the community. So I don't see any additional hands raised from the attendees. Osana, do you have written?
Yes, and Don has his hand up. Did you want to say something, Don?
Thank you. I could wait till the end, but since you've called on me, this is board comment on public comment. I've heard some things that were said that might be interpreted as discouraging complaints. I want people to understand, at least I'm only speaking for myself, but if we don't hear complaints, I mean, how else are we going to hear complaints except in public comment or in letters to ourselves? So I would encourage people to not be discouraged. And if you have something negative to say, if you say it politely, I think that it would be very useful to us. And I just want to make that very clear that we're not just we're not sitting here to listen to praise for our excellence. We have other things we can do with our time. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Director Howell. All right. Yes. Thomas, the written public comment, please.
Yes. Yes, I have one, and it is from Cheryl McDowell. Please read a public comment. One is, please open CCSD and committee agenda meetings to in-person at Vets Hall starting in April. If Disneyland can open, so can Cambria Community Services District. All district offices also need to be open to the public, and employees need to return to their workstations. Number two, with only 13% completion of CDP, it would be in the best interest to rescind CDP as written until all requirements are met. Don't waste county's time asking for extensions. Number three, CDM Smith settlement, please specify how this money will be spent, if it would be put into a side account. Number four, February 2021, CCSD public meeting director Harry Farmer was rudely silenced by the chair. I feel a public apology is in order. And five, employees need to be masked up when two are driving together in CCSD vehicle. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sana. And is that it then for the written public comment?
Yes.
Okay. So that completes the action of public comment, and we'll move on to regular business. And first on our agenda in That's item agenda item 4A. GMY Gold, will you introduce the agenda item for us, please?
Yes, President Steidel. Agenda item 4A is discussion and consideration of establishing a board ad hoc committee for forest management alternatives. Staff recommends that the board discuss and consider establishing a board ad hoc committee for forest management alternatives to identify and define viable options to manage and promote the health, regeneration, and vitality of our native tree stands at Cambria Community Services District properties so that they may then thrive and prosper for future generations. We've added some discussion areas to think about to start the ad hoc committee off for discussion purposes in the discussion section. And I want to also thank Kitty Connolly from the FFRP, who really helped provide some significant data in this regard. And she also pointed us to a coalition in the Santa Cruz area, because we're in a similar situation as that region in that all the Monterey pines don't happen to be on CCSD property. They're scattered over a number of owned lands. And so creating policies for just the pines on our land within our authority really doesn't get to the heart of the problem. And so she provided the link there and the discussion for the ad hoc to investigate and think about on how we capture interest groups across the community. So with that, I'll turn it back over to the president to continue board discussion.
All right. Thank you, GM Weigold. And I would certainly open it up to board discussion. Assuming in prior conversation, Director Farmer, that you'd still be interested in participating in an ad hoc of this nature?
Yeah, I certainly would. And it was actually part of the discussion at last night's Forest Committee meeting, so I could make some comments on what we brought up at that time. I want to thank Kitty Connolly for referencing, let me get the name of that group again, the Santa Cruz Mountain Stewardship Network. Mm-hmm. So I went to their website and read about them, read about staff, read about some of the activities that they've been involved with. And while they're certainly admirable in the scheme of things, I don't think that what they do necessarily addresses the challenges that we face here in our community with regard to the health of the forest, not just on the ranch, but throughout the entire community. Probably what we're going to be needing, this is just my personal comment, and I hope I'm not out of line here, but you asked me if I'd like to be involved. Probably what we need to do is first and foremost hire either a forest manager or a forest ecologist or one in the same, or perhaps even a registered professional forester that can address the needs of the health of the forest, like I said, not just on the ranch, but throughout the community. Also, one of the things that came up last night was having involved some of our local groups like FFRP, Friends of the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve, as well as the Forest Committee, as well as Green Space. Those are our local groups here. And also the Slow Land Conservancy and Eco Slow. All of them, of course, are involved with the health and well-being of the entire community with regard to nature and our relationship to her. So I would imagine if we do, in fact, form an ad hoc committee, it would be more along those lines than what is necessarily stated here in this agenda item.
Thank you. Well, the intent originally, I think, was to create something for the board specifically as an ad hoc to investigate some of these items rather than to to launch into something directly. I think one of the issues that we're grappling with is that the pine forest within the confines of the CCSD authority versus the totality. CCSD only represents about 30% of that total population. So we really don't have authority or influence except for the areas that are within the district guidelines. So that is part of the discussion, for instance, that Kitty Conley was putting forward and some of the things that she was indicating. So actually what I'd like to do is to be able to get an ad hoc formulated to be able to address some of the items that are outlined in the discussion area. And it isn't so much as trying to create, you know, an answer one over the world at this point as it is to try to understand what some of our opportunities are. And I'm sorry, Director Gray, you had your...
Yeah, I wanted to add, you know, engage in a little bit of discussion here too, because I also looked at that website for the Santa Cruz Mountain Group, and it strikes me as very promising because, you know, as Chairwoman Steidel was saying, the CCSD jurisdiction includes less than half of the total Monterey Pine Forest. And I'm not just talking about Fiscalini Ranch, I'm talking about entire CCSD jurisdiction. And there are very large, there are larger holdings, for instance, the Cobell Ranch, a number of properties, you know, David Fiscalini's property, the Norris Ranch and Marina Reserve, the Sahagi property, and Green Space property. And those two are actually not exactly in the URL that are part of the forest. And I think the problem all along with the idea of just the CCSD doing something, just the CCSD hiring a forester or whatever, is that you're only dealing with a part of the forest. And the health of the forest, of course, does not respect jurisdictional lines. I think what's great about this, and I believe it's a 501c3, so it raises money. And if it isn't, it would, you know, the logical thing would be it raises money, it can have a staff, it can hire the forestry expertise it needs, and it incorporates both agencies, interest groups, and landowners, and in their case, several companies like Big Creek Lumber, to, you know, become a group that really represents the actual area of concern. So I think that is actually very promising as a format for getting the job done, essentially, rather than trying to just do it ourselves.
All right. The other thing that occurs to me is the Fire Safe Focus Group. I don't know if you can lend any insight to that, but it would seem that part of the protection for the forest there's some overlap there in terms of the...
There's enormous overlap, because what protects the forest from fire protects the forest, and actually vice versa. What protects the forest makes it healthy also protects it from fire, because you're taking out invasive plants and undergrowth and things like that. So they actually have a lot of crossover. They both, you know, neither of them, the Fire Safe Focus Group does not have representation that much from the large landowners. They, for instance, the Cavell family is working with Cal Fire and on a project right now, but they aren't involved directly in, say, the Fire Safe Focus Group. And I think I was talking maybe with Chairman Seidel a little while ago about this privately. A lot of areas have their own fire safe councils, which are like 501c3s. They function kind of, you know, they could have the same membership that, say, a forest council has. And they can do the same thing. They can raise money, get grants, hire people. And it seems like a situation where you'd almost have the two organizations or one organization wearing both hats, which is conceivable. But I think there is an overlap that could be very useful.
Okay. Yes, Vice President Howell.
Yeah, I think we're getting the cart a little before the horse, since what we're really asking for here is an ad hoc committee to investigate alternatives and bring back to it. So, and I respect Director Farmer's position there, but again, we're hearing a conclusion. What I'd like to have come back to us is a report that explains all these alternatives and recommends something for us to do. So I think at this point, we're really kind of, we're kind of discussing stuff that probably will come up later. So in that regard, I'd like to make a motion. If I'd like to move.
Just a second. Apparently, Director Dean has a desire to speak first.
We haven't had public comment on this agenda item.
Right.
So we can't make a motion yet, can we? Don't we have to have public comment first?
Public comment.
Thank you.
Okay. Right.
We actually have three members of the Forest Committee board that wish to make public comment.
I see that. And I just wanted to ask first if there was any other discussion by the board, or shall we take public comment? Okay. So, Osana, could you direct us to public comment, please?
Yes, can you hear me? Okay, yes, Bob Fountain, go ahead.
Osana, excuse me, there is a lot of feedback on your mic.
Oh, I've got two.
That was the door being opened between the two rooms, President Steidel.
Oh, all right, sorry, thank you. Go ahead and continue, Osana.
Go ahead, Bob Fountain.
Good afternoon, Madam President and the board. Bob Fountain here. I'm on the board of directors of Green Space, the Cambria Land Trust, as well as I'm also a representative for the Cambria Forest Committee. Regarding this item, Green Space supports the creation of this ad hoc committee. We will encourage the committee to reach out to all the organizations that can provide valuable input to this effort. We also recommend that the committee use the wealth of information within the Cambria Forest Management Plan to assist them in their efforts. It has a wealth of information. A lot of people have spent a lot of time putting that document together. You don't necessarily have to reinvent the wheel on a lot of this. So I encourage you to use that plan as much as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fountain. I appreciate the targeting to that for information purposes also in reference. Osana?
Yes, Crosby and Laura Schwartz, go ahead.
Good afternoon, President Steidel. We actually would like to make two comments off of the same computer, if that's possible.
Certainly.
I'm speaking on behalf of the Cambria Forest Committee. We would like to thank the board and the staff for focusing attention on this topic. Maintaining the district-owned forest and open space areas in an attractive and safe condition is very important for many reasons. Cambria's trees are an important part of the community's special scenic attraction, and they also provide other benefits such as collecting and maintaining moisture, providing shade, absorbing carbon dioxide, and so forth. I know the staff is concerned about the cost of maintaining these areas, but I'm sure they also know that the healthy trees actually do not require a lot of maintenance. It's the dead and dying trees that are costly. So it's very important to maintain the health of the forest as much as possible to help control the cost. We certainly support the formation of this ad hoc committee, and we like to second the thought of Harry Farmer being one of the members of this ad hoc. He's our CCSD liaison person, regularly attends the meetings, and has a good understanding of all of these issues. Thank you.
Thank you.
Number two on the same computer.
Okay, and the thing is, I'm in total agreement of establishing a board ad hoc committee to promote the health of our forest. Having been a member and then director of the Canberra Forest Committee since 2009, I'm aware of many people in the public and professional groups that are interested in the preservation of our forest. To name a few of these groups, and not in any particular order, is the Cambria Forest Committee, FFRP, Green Space, Rancho Marino, Native Plant Society, Slow Conservancy, State Parks, Perch Ranch, Camp Ocean Pines, Nature Conservancy, and others. So you really have a lot of people interested in doing this. So an ad hoc committee is a step in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Schwartz. Osana?
Yes, I'm having some technical difficulties, but Christine Heinrichs, you go ahead. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for taking up the issue of hiring a forest ecologist to manage Cambria's rare Monterey Pine Forest. I support appointing an ad hoc committee to take up this issue. Harry Farmer, who attends Friends of Fiscalini Ranch Preserve and Cambria Forest Committee meetings, is the obvious choice to lead. Please invite other organizations, such as Laura mentioned, that have stands of Monterey Pines on their property. Green Space, the Cambria Land Trust, Camp Ocean Pines, Rancho Marino Reserve, Hearst Ranch, Covell Ranch, the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo, the Nature Conservancy, and of course, all the property owners in Cambria who own their share of the forest to participate. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. Osana?
Oh.
Yes, Kitty Connolly, go ahead.
Sorry. Thank you, President Steidel. FFRP supports formation of the ad hoc committee. I think it's a universally supported goal that we want to improve and protect the forest in Cambria. What I think, and there are many well-established mechanisms and techniques for managing forests, I think the thing that I would like the ad hoc committee, I would be pleased if the ad hoc committee would consider mechanisms for doing that across the myriad landowners that are involved, because intention of having healthy forests, techniques for managing a forest, those are well established. How to actually implement that in the complex setting that we have here with CCSD and private and public lands, that seems to be the sticking point, the real challenge to me for the ad hoc committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Connolly. Appreciate your comments. Osana?
Claudia, go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Just have a couple of comments. I guess I disagree with what Tom said about a healthy forest also being protected by the forest the Fire Safe Council, because what's happened to the Fiscalini Ranch, and it really makes me sad to walk it, is it's turned into a park instead of a forest. And a healthy forest has a lot of underlayment, and taking all that out is actually not good for the forest. That can be done and still make it as fire safe as possible, as a bunch of trees could be fire safe, but that can be done. So please take that into consideration as you replant the forest. The other thing is, as you're looking at this ad hoc committee, I would like to see you consider a forest district, just like you have a health district, put together some kind of a forest district. So you actually have an organization that will look at all the forests, not and kind of supersede this problem you're having of just doing a CCSD property. So please consider that issue as you put together this ad hoc committee. Thank you.
Christine?
Thank you very much, Claudia. And I do not see any additional. Apparently, Ms. Dickinson has joined us. Osana?
Yes, I have. Christine spoke, so I have no written comments.
All right, but I believe Ms. Dickinson has just joined with her hand up, so I don't know if she had wanted to speak on this issue.
Yes, Tina Dickinson, go ahead.
Thank you. Actually, I had my hand raised at the beginning of this, but didn't get acknowledged. So I would like to support this item. And I don't agree with Director Howell that, or Vice President Howell, that this should be delayed in any way. I think you have it for discussion and consideration. I think it should be established. I think Director Farmer makes absolutely good sense, but there has to be two of you. So I don't understand why there's a need for the delay to look further into whatever, because I think when you establish ad hoc committees or standing subcommittees, it is that you're tasking these committees with certain things. So to get it moving, and I certainly agree with once an ad hoc committee is established, in order to promote the health of the forest, that this ad hoc committee work in tandem with all of the agencies or organizations that were mentioned by two or three other commenters. So what's the holdup? I don't understand that. This is an important issue. The sooner the better. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickinson. I guess this comes back to the board. I guess the first thing I'll ask actually is that if there's another board member who would like to participate in this with Director Farmer. Director Gray? Oh, excellent. Okay. I do think that the crossover information that you might be in a position to share would be of value, that and probably the financial awareness of items also. So I think that will be a good combination.
Thank you.
And I think that, excuse me, Mr. Farmer?
Director Farmer? I'm sorry, I just kind of interrupted there. I should have raised my hand. I would say this, that since I have, not that this qualifies either one of us to be members of the Forest Committee, but I walk the forest daily, whether it's Strawberry Canyon or the ranch or wherever, and I have seen Mr. Gray and his wife out there on the ranch as well. So I know at least the two of us are walking in the forest, if nothing else. Like I say, I don't know if that qualifies us as the best people to be on the committee, but I just wanted to add that comment.
We know it well.
Well, obviously, it's an indication of how much both of you value it.
And appreciate it, too.
All right. Well, the intent of this agenda item was discussion and consideration of establishing this ad hoc committee for the forest management alternatives with a number of items that are in the discussion area for consideration. And I would add probably that the best result in terms of the initial activities of this ad hoc would be to come back to the board with a report that outlines some alternatives and or suggestions or recommendations. And so if the other board members are in concert with that kind of approach, I'd like to make a motion in that regard and see if there's a second for establishing this board ad hoc committee with the participation of Director Gray and Director Farmer, with the result of coming back to the board with alternatives, recommendations, and information for the board to potentially pursue additionally. So, do I have a second?
I'll second your motion, President Steidel, but I'm not sure where the motion stopped and the explanation started. So,
Do you want me to curtail the, was it two?
Yeah. But okay. Second it. You consider that you have a second.
Okay. All right. The establishment of the ad hoc committee for forest management alternatives with Director Gray and Director Farmer.
Right. Exactly. Excellent. Very good.
Then we have a motion and a second. So Director Farmer?
Director Dean also has her hand up.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to second it, but Don beat me to it. I just wanted to comment that I do think that's a good combination for this ad hoc committee, Director Gray being the chair of the Finance Committee and looking at number four under discussion on looking at the resources for this. This is a good thing. And yes, Director Gray and his wife do spend a lot of time on the ranch, and that's important. But I also wanted to make just a brief comment that how much I appreciate all the public positive input on this agenda item. It was very refreshing.
Thank you. All right. Any more? Okay, Director Farmer?
Sorry, I just butted in again. Refreshing and not always that usual. So, it was nice to get essentially positive comment. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we have a motion then and a second. So, Osana, if we could move to roll call, please.
Okay. I've been having difficulty hearing, so can you tell me, please, who was
set the motion in place? The motion. Do you need the motion rephrased or just the participants?
All of it. Sorry. All right.
So the motion is for establishing a board ad hoc committee for forest management alternatives, and the participants of that from the board are Directors Farmer and Director Gray.
Okay, thank you.
I initiated the motion and Vice President Howell seconded it.
All right, so Director Farmer, how do you vote?
Okay.
Yeah. Try this again.
I'm sorry.
Problem.
Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Director Gray?
Aye.
Director Dean?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
And President Steidel?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank
5-0.
You.
5-0. Aye.
Okay. Then we move to a difference in the items. And what we're going to do now is move to agenda item 4C. And that is the discussion consideration on the facility name. So, Jim Weigold, would you introduce this agenda item, please?
Yes, President Steidel. And also, I wanted to let the board know that Osana has lost audio. So, so I've got my door cracked open for her to hear my audio. But she's still got a mic and she can listen. So I apologize. I just tried to troubleshoot it. We just had this thing resolved a couple of days ago. So we'll have to bear with it for the rest of the meeting. But I apologize for Osana not being able to hear. She's listening through a speaker in another room now. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate the heads up on that then so that we can accommodate that. Thank you.
Indeed. So agenda item 4C is discussion and consideration regarding renaming the facility presently known as the Sustainable Water Facility or SWF. Staff recommends that the board discuss and consider the name to be used. And then my issue here is we had left in internally by the staff and district by accident, but it should not deter you from your discussion, according to our district council, for the facility presently known as a sustainable water facility. This issue was originally brought up and discussed at the regular board meeting on January 21st of this year. And then the board asked after a significant discussion to bring the item back for discussion this month. And continue that discussion. also want to make one slight expansion on the very last sentence, which talks about the San Luis Obispo County Planning Group. They have indicated that a name change would not impact the permitting process, but that's only as it relates to that department. So they're not speaking to the whole permitting process A to Z for our purposes, but just internally to their planning department.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. All right, Director Dean?
District Council had his hand up at the beginning of this item. I'm not sure if he needed to speak.
Mr. Carmel.
I was just going to suggest maybe Osana could call in with a cell phone so she could have better audio.
That would certainly be an option. GM Weigold, is there, do you know if that approach would assist her in what she's doing?
Yes, President Seidel. We're working a couple of different options, but that's certainly one of them. We'll give that a shout right now.
Okay. Thank you. In the short term, then, is that's an issue until I hear differently. What I will do then is for public comment on this agenda item, I will go ahead and. But the problem is that I don't really have control over opening their. So what's our best approach here? GM Weigold, in terms of being able to hand this off and so forth.
Might be moving to the, let me see he's doing there.
President Steidel, if Osana were to make you a co-host, then you could unmute people.
Okay.
Are we trying to bring in a speaker?
Oh. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Is she in a position to go ahead and at least to open the mics on?
Yes, she's just in the process.
Okay.
Go ahead, Crosby and Schwartz.
Good afternoon again, President Steidel and members of the board. Because of the limitations on the amount of water this facility can purify and recover, and the high cost of trucking and disposal of the reverse osmosis wastewater, this facility should be operated only when the district is projected to run out of drinkable water before the rains return and the aquifer is recharged each year. In other words, the facility should be operated only when water shortage emergency conditions have been declared. For this reason, the facility's original name, Emergency Water Supply, is the most accurate way to identify the purpose and function of the facility. The need to operate the emergency water supply to avoid running out of drinking water at the end of the dry years can be necessary to provide water for existing customer demands. And of course, if additional customers are added in the future, the facility would need to be operated more frequently and for longer periods of time. But it really is an emergency facility to provide water when you're projected to run out of drinking water. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schwartz. Osana?
Wait. Cindy?
Yes.
Okay, two for the price of one.
Oh, I'm sorry, Laura. I didn't. There was a bit of a lag there.
Otherwise, just press pound to continue.
Okay. Laura, please.
I'm trying to call in.
Is that okay? Okay. As you know, Crosby and I usually agree, which is real good for marriage, but we say things in different ways. And I wanted to thank the board and the president and say good afternoon. And I admire your wisdom to reinstate the name EWS. Hopefully that includes its intended use. Now, I've been a homeowner since 2008, of course, with Crosby, and an active community participant since 2009. We would sit there all through the CCSD meetings from beginning to end on those hard chairs. My point being is, I remember Gail Robinette way back when, the director and the past president of the CCSD, urging the ratepayers to support the EWS as an insurance policy. The word insurance. Insurance policies are purchased for emergencies, hence the name. Don't use our insurance policy for everyday use. Call it what it is and use it as it was intended. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Schwartz.
Thank
Osama?
You. Yes. Go ahead, Ted Key.
Good afternoon again, President Steidel and Board. I would only like to emphasize how much I agree with Laura and Crosby on this matter. And I know I've said this before. This unit is an emergency water system. That's what it is. That's what the people of Cambria voted for in 2014. And that's what it should be. Now, I just want to point something out here, because once again, it has been put forth that people who have been active citizens who have had concerns about this unit have not in any way, shape, or form caused the delays with this particular unit getting its CDP. I've heard this over and over. It is a complete falsehood. The problems with getting the permit for this unit have been with the unit itself, its design, construction, implementation, and this is only further emphasized by the fact that we are continuing to go on and on and on extending the permit process. This has nothing, zero, nada to do with any public activist or concerned individuals of the community of Cambria, including myself. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Key. Osama?
Elizabeth?
I can call on Elizabeth Bettenhausen. Go ahead.
This listening to the meeting right now reminds me of some very contemporary music, and I understand maybe 2% of it. It's a complexity that I'm sure the Tyler system will solve any day now. I'd like to speak on this agenda item by saying that, as you know, Board, because I sent the material to you after receiving it from the district, there is the only official name of this plant right now is the Emergency Water Supply Project. I submitted the PRR. There is no indication anywhere, apparently, that the board ever took official action to change the name of this project. So it's still the emergency water supply, even though coincidentally, the SWF acronym has often been used for purposes that aren't very clear. You will also recall, I'm sure, that in January, I sent you a letter about this issue of the name. I don't really care what it's called. Tiddlywinks, as far as I'm concerned, is probably as good as anything. But the question is, what is implied in the name? And is there anything that is essentially integral to that name? And I want to point out only one aspect, which you know, and I'll simply repeat it also for the people listening. And I hope that I meet the qualification of being an excellent whistleblower, if that's what Mike Lyons had in mind. I want to point out only one thing, and that is that the major change between the project description for EWS, which is the official project under consideration by you now, the major change from that project description to the project description that was submitted for the SWF under that name, which you have never officially adopted, is to add the permit for 650 houses. And if you'd like me to, I'd be more than willing to share with you what I have been finding by going through my ring binders, because some of the meetings of the board of CCSD back in 2003 and 2004 disclosed very interesting aspects of the water master plan. So if you take action today without looking at the implications of changing the name to SWF, I think it will be a very premature judgment on your part, because we are now working with the Emergency Water Supply Project officially by action of the board of CCSD. And to change it now without a substantive discussion of what's at issue would be, public service, which would raise many questions in my mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Osana? Tina Dickinson, I don't know.
Thank you. I'm here.
Oh, okay, Tina, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Seidel. I've written quite a few comments on this. The name change to the SWF for the purpose primarily to allow for growth would appear, in my opinion, to have hit a snag. What I see before the district is a dilemma with the application for an SWF for the following reasons. One, you do not have an ocean outfall to dispose of the brine waste after having the impoundment basin decommissioned. Two, the cost of trucking to dispose the brine waste to Oceano and or Kettleman City would be prohibitively expensive. And I've done some serious calculations on that. And if you want to just a rundown real quickly of at if they run it 50,000 gallons a day, the annual cost will be $4,516,200. For brine, that's for hauling and for the disposal at Oceano, or I don't know about Kettleman, probably more expensive. For 20,000 gallons per day times 12 for a whole year, $1,099,200. So we're looking at incredibly expensive and prohibitively expensive amounts. Three, the district's permit for withdrawal from San Simeon Creek is limited to 799 acre feet a year. What happens if under an SWF scenario, water is produced for additional consumption to accommodate growth, and then we find ourselves in a severe drought because the district could have conceivably pumped their maximum allocation due to more hookups? Wouldn't that get us back to where the district started in the first place, as the need for the emergency water supply for level 3 drought conditions? I also would like to mention now that the DWR is looking at 6 levels of drought, and how would we be impacted by the 6 levels once the district has worked that out? I would also say that there's an issue with the $4.3 million grant funding. The recommendations were never completed with the DWR. They said that the district had not proven that they could run the plant for 6 months and produce 250 acre feet of water. We have never proven that. And when we know that we did the tracer test, we got back 50% or less of the water that went through. So in order to get 250 acre feet, that's going to require far more pumping than I think you could ever be able to manage. So I mentioned the 6 levels of drought. You've got to overcome that. But I think what you're confronted with now is a project that is not going to be functional as an SWF for sure. And that your limitations will be to the EWS because we will never be able to afford the trucking costs at the level of 50,000 gallons per day, or the growth issue. It just is not going to work. So I thank you for bringing this up, this item today for discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickinson. Osana?
Okay. Yes, Christine Heinrich.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for bringing this item back, and thank you for clarifying that the word internal was there by mistake, because that was certainly an impossible condition as shown at the last discussion. The history of changing the name from Emergency Water Supply Project to Sustainable Water Facility is unclear. It may relate to the lobbyists the board hired who thought that the name Sustainable would allow it to qualify for funding. It didn't. Other reasons may have entered in. Regardless, the project has always been only an emergency project, and calling it sustainable, which the board last year agreed it was not sustainable in any way, was a mistake. Take this occasion to call it by its correct name, Emergency Water Supply Project. At the same time, please withdraw the application for a coastal development permit from the county. It's going nowhere anyway, still at only 13% after 8 months, and revise the project description to reflect its appropriate use, as advised by your strategic and organizational advisor, Paavo Ogren, who was hired expressly for that purpose, to serve existing authorized water connections only to abate the emergency within the CCSD's service area, not to serve new development. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hydries. Osana?
Yes, Gordon Heinrichs, go ahead.
Hello, it's nice to have this subject on the board again, and that I was perusing through the CDM Smith contract originally made and worked with on the CSE board and hastily signed and processed. During that process of changes during their construction phases, they came up with a sentence in there that said that the facility was changed to the sustainable water facility. And the comment was they had no reason or no understanding why that was changed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Heinrichs.
I have a couple comments.
We can move to any written comments, Osana.
Yeah, I think yes. Osana said that.
Give me one moment, please.
Yeah.
I have a comment from Robert Reed. Dear CCSD board, unfortunately, I cannot attend today's meeting. However, I am writing to express my full support for restoring the name of the water facility back to its original project title of Emergency Water Supply from the revised name of Sustainable Water Facility, correctly and accurately referring to this important project intended to serve Cambria during water emergencies is very important. Aligning the facility's intent, funding, and emergency temporary permitting before NCDP is issued will reflect the clarity, transparency, and overall integrity of both the widely misunderstood and oft maligned project, as well as that of this CCSD board and administration, which appears to be working diligently to better serve our community. This is not a case of what's in a name, that which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. No, it is very much a case of integrity and accuracy and truly meaning what is intended. Words have meaning, words have intent. Words create actions, and words create problems and conflicts as much as solutions. I urge the CCSD board to act with the right intent in restoring the accurate name of the facility to Emergency Water Supply today, and to proceed with permitting it as such, which I believe and CCSD's own water supply consultant advised would be a simpler and less costly process. Thank you for your consideration. Robert Reed, Cambria property owner and ratepayer.
Thank you, Osana.
Thank you. I have two more.
Oh, all right. Sorry.
Okay, one from James Townsend. Dear President Steidel and members of the board, I am writing to support the board taking action to rename the water reclamation facility located on San Simeon Creek Road. I suggest the board select and confirm via a formal vote a name that reflects the intended purpose of the facility as presented to the voters back in 2014. Thank you for the opportunity to make this comment, Jim Townsend, Cambria.
Thank you.
And one more, Robert Fountain.
Regarding item C, I am in total support of naming the Cambria RO facility the Emergency Water Supply Project. This was the original name given to the facility. It is what the Cambria community understood what the facility was for and accurately defines it. That is, for emergency purposes only and for existing Cambria customers. And efforts underway for a regular coastal development permit, CDP, should be corrected to replace the name as the EWS. And I don't see any legitimate reason why CCSD staff cannot make the changes now, rather than after the CDP process. A more streamlined permit will be created if the board names the facility the Emergency Water Supply Project. Thank you. And that is all.
Thank you, Osana. Well, what that does then is bring this back to the board for discussion. Before we go into our full discussion, I did want to make a statement before we get started. I certainly support the idea of considering a name change for our water facility, as was suggested by Director Howell. There is value in clarification of communication with the public of what the facility is and what it does. I have a personal perspective that any name the board considers be neutral in nature and something that would represent its functional performance, something that all members of the community can embrace. We are much further down the road now than we were previously when the SWIFT name was adopted by a prior board. Areas of impact are much greater and far-reaching. Renaming is not a direction from external agencies we are responsible to. This is the dialogue internal to Cambria. Simplistically, renaming the facility would be merely a direction on our part, but we need to be more responsible than that. My hope is that any motion we consider today have the least impact to staff and their current obligations. To that end, before we consider and direct implementation of any suggested name change, I strongly encourage that we direct this back to staff for feedback on timing impacts to in-process obligations and work in process impacts, as well as any cost impacts and recommended practical timeline for incorporation. Then the normal legal review by staff with recommendations coming back before the board before its final consideration. In addition, I want to clearly emphasize that any name change of the facility or motion from the board in consideration of this agenda item will not revise or impact the current CDP application or its project description content, which is currently in active county review. And with that, I open it to conversation and discussion. I don't know, particularly Director Gray.
Yeah, that was a good way to set up the topic, because I was going to elaborate on the point that was made about this being the need here being for a name that is as politically non-loaded as possible. And as one earlier speaker said, objective and fact-based. I think from most of the public comment that I heard, I know we're talking today officially on our agenda about the name. Most of the comments are really more about the operating parameters for the facility. In other words, how much is to be used, how much use is permitted, how often it is used, and what the rules are. Those are not on the agenda. Obviously, we're just talking about the name. But I think as Dr. Bettenhausen said, names have implications. You know, a name, you know, EWS implies something, SWF implies something. They're loaded in different ways. And I think what we need to get is a name that is, as I said, objective, describes the facility in a accurate physical, mechanical way as to what it does not imply any direction in particular as to the operating parameters or its uses. And something we can say, we'll talk about it. And when somebody mentions the name, it doesn't raise hackles, which is kind of the case now. I've turned over a few names in my mind. I think several of us probably have too. I used to think the name, the old advanced water treatment plant was a little bit limiting because it didn't include, say, the brine pond. But what I get the sense from talking to people over the years, actually, that name is fairly new, is actually extremely accurate in terms of an engineering sense. And I believe it's Ray Dienzo can correct me if I'm wrong, but that's kind of the term of art for this type of facility. I might throw that out there as a possibility. I've also heard other names which are usable, I think, like water reuse facility, water reclamation facility. They all say what it does. They don't say whether it's for droughts only. They don't say whether it's for growth and so forth. They just say what it is. I think it's a good starting point for us to talk about it.
Thank you. Any other directors? Yeah, considering you wanted to have this on the agenda, Director Hal, I assume that you have something you'd like to contribute.
Yes, thank you. I was just hoping to hear from more people because I think everyone pretty much knows my position on this. And I'd have to say that I have to agree. I think it is best if we have a name which does not say anything really about its intended use. And of course, as all the commentary that we heard today, most of it had more to do with the use of the facility and not what it is called. And that is a discussion which this board does need to have, but that isn't the discussion today, in my opinion. And my reason for bringing it forth in this way is I think it's probably, I would rather deal with the things that I think that maybe we can reach agreement about before we start dealing with the more difficult areas where there may be more serious disagreements. I think it makes it a little easier to move forward. We take a bite of the mountain at a time. So that's why I've suggested separating this issue. So again, I think I agree 100%. I think we need something that is accurate, neutral. I think those are actually Tom's words. Nice if it's easy to pronounce, but that's not that big a deal. Having said that, my preference would be, I think the advanced water treatment plant is what it is. Mm-hmm. But there are many possible advanced water treatment plants and many uses to which they could be put. In fact, we might ultimately end up with several of those if we start dealing with surface water capture. So I think it is better to reserve that word, which can refer to any advanced water treatment plant. And let's talk about the facility that we have and what it is doing. And what it is doing is, in fact, reclaiming water or recycling water. So I think either water reclamation two other points. So I would say either water reclamation facility or water reuse. I don't like reclamation and reuse. I think it's a little redundant. Plus, I'm not sure people really want to be reminded of that. So I think it's a simple water reclamation facility. If we wanted ease of pronunciation, water reclamation plant is several syllables shorter, but it isn't as accurate because, again, the plant is only the part of it. The facility includes all the pipes and the pumps and everything else. So I would, I think to ease this discussion along, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and then maybe folks can talk for or against the motion or amend it as they like, if that's, I don't see anyone grimacing.
Well, I guess I would like at least to hear from the other two directors if they have any contribution that they would want to make.
Yes,
and it's possible one of them would have a motion too. I don't know. So, so Director Dean, is your hand up or is it?
Yeah, her hand was up.
Yeah. Okay.
Muted.
So please go forward. Oh, you're still muted.
You're muted. You're
Sorry. Yeah. I was asking for Director Farmer to go first.
Oh, all right.
Sorry.
That's fine. Director Farmer.
Well, Director Dean had her hand up long before myself, but I have no problem with speaking right now. You know, I'm a little bit reluctant to say what I'm about to, but one of the comments that Director Gray made, that he said that, you know, names, the two names, the SWF or the EWS, you know, these names are loaded and they shouldn't raise hackles. I just want to point out the fact that Mr. Gray was an employee of this district for a year and a half as the public information officer for this project. I believe that happened when the name change took place. I don't recall when we initially got the permit for an emergency water supply project that it raised any hackles at all. The hackles have been raised since it was changed to the SWF without any real explanation as to why that name change took place. With regard to should the name of the facility reflect the purpose of it or the function, in talking with other folks yesterday, I was more inclined to say, yeah, the water reclamation or water reuse facility, whichever of those, seemed to make a lot of sense because that does kind of describe what it is. However, the more I think about it, the use of the facility is what I believe the title of the facility should reflect the use of it, which was initially for emergency purposes only. And I'm more inclined to go along with that. If it's something else other than the SWF, I guess I would ultimately be agreeable with that. But I appreciate the fact that even our board president supports the name change. So, I'm open to whatever else comes up, but my preference would be what it initially was, the stated purpose, which was the emergency water supply project. And that's probably the only time that we'll be running it anyway. I would hope that that is the only time. So that's my comment at this moment.
Thank you. Director Dean?
Okay. I think I'm unmuted. there's been so much conflict between the name EWS and SWF, and I agree with people that it never was brought before the public, the name change, and I can understand why they're upset about it. However, I also feel like the facility should be named for what it actually does, not its purpose, but I would like to discuss the purpose later, not on this meeting. To me, what this machine does is it reclaims the treated wastewater that we have already used. It takes the water that's gone past our well field, it reclaims that. It takes the water from the saltwater wedge and treats that so that we can reuse it. And to me, what this is a water reclamation facility. Now, I did like the name Advanced Water Treatment Plant because we did use that all along the way, but I understand that plant means just the actual workings itself and doesn't involve the well field and all of that. And I did kind of pursue the Advanced Water Treatment Facility, but then it was pointed out to me that the acronym was an issue, and my mind doesn't work that way, so I hadn't thought of that. So I appreciate it being brought up. So as far as I'm concerned, I would move to go forward with renaming it the Water Reclamation Facility, but I have a couple of other comments in addition to my motion. That's not part of my motion, but just beyond it, if I can. Is that appropriate? Okay. The county doesn't care what we call it. They have indicated it's not going to delay the permit processing. The agencies were never consulted with it being changed from EWS to SWF, so I don't think that that's going to be a problem with them. And as Director Gray commented at our last discussion on this item, a cover letter can be sent to them saying that from this point forward, we are calling the facility the water reclamation facility, or EWS, formerly known as EWS, SWF, whatever. I don't think that our utility staff has an issue with us changing the name. I think the biggest issue is going to be for our finance manager, because she is in the process of the Tyler Encode. And I think she's going to need to finish migrating all of that data before she goes about trying to change this on the finance reports and on the billing, records. So I can see for that part of it, delaying it so she doesn't have to deal with that, but only for that particular part of it. I would like to see the name change taken care of now, and let's get this over with. And then in the future, let's deal with this discussion on how the facility is going to be used. So I make the motion that we go ahead.
I would like to be able to make a, I mean, I hadn't given a position about any of the names.
Oh, sorry.
That's fine. It sounds like there's several, several folks who want to make a motion. So I'm sure we're going to have one, but I do feel that something that along the lines of that water reclamation or water reclamation and reuse facility, or for instance, I mean, apparently the reference that Mr. D'Anzo had indicated that advanced water treatment plant is something that is a kind of a recognized term in the industry, so that's a potential. But I also think, I mean, I could live with any one of the three of those, frankly. But I think what I would really like to be able to do also is to get some feedback from staff in terms of, you know, the potentials for impacts to the work and process obligations and potential implications. I mentioned the issue for the finance manager in trying to reflect any new name into the billing process, and that in itself is something that still would be downlined by any number of months. So I think we at least should offer to the staff review in those kinds of considerations with as many things as they're dealing with related to the in-stream flow study, the CDP process itself, all of the efforts going on to the SST actions and activities, and then the impacts also as far as the finance group is concerned, and get some feedback from them on potential recommendations for a timeline for implementation if we were to take the action to actually put a name change forward and direct it for implementation. So I'm really hoping that a motion that comes forward will have, Don apparently wants to be able to,
me for interrupting, but it's a point of order. There was a motion made, and the normal procedure in these issues is you make a motion, second it, and then it gets discussed, possibly changed. So it is a motion, and I would like to second
and
that.
You made that initially, Director Howell. I understand that. Okay, fine.
So there is a motion on the floor, which is to change the name. Now, I forgive me for interrupting you.
I appreciate it.
I mean, I do have something to say in response to your comments, but I'll wait because I didn't really want to interrupt. I just wanted to get that motion out there so we know what we're actually discussing.
So, who made the motion, Don or me?
Don made the first attempt at a motion, and
yeah, no, Karen made the motion because we were going to have public comment, and I never got to the motion. Karen made the motion, and I just seconded it.
All right. Would you please phrase the motion again then, Director Dean?
I move that we change the name of the formerly known as EWS-SWF to the water reclamation facility to be implemented as soon as possible.
Okay. Good. Second. All right.
Okay. And okay. So then Director Gray?
Is it possible to make a substitute motion at this point under Rosenberg's rules?
Mr. Carmel?
You can try.
Well, it incorporates what the current motion, but it elaborates on it, because there's sort of a complicated sense of the board here about all the issues that are involved. And I've been taking some notes. I wanted to flesh it out a little bit as to what we're, you know, for instance, as soon as possible, what that means, for instance. So I will offer wording that actually comes to the same name, but it has some further detail about how we think it should be done. I move that to provide a clear description of the facility now labeled the Sustainable Water Facility, it is moved that the CCSD staff and legal counsel be directed to report back to the board on the cost, feasible timing, and potential effects of renaming the facility the Water Reclamation Facility, with the understanding that any name change will not revise or impact the CDP application, including the facility's project description as currently in active county review.
Okay.
So what that does, you know, what that does is it basically brings in the issue of, we have to ask the staff what's going to, you know, how can they do this, and when, how soon they can do it. And we want to make sure we don't have any pitfalls that we're not thinking about. And I think we make it clear that we're also not changing the project description.
And so the normal course here, Mr. Carmel, would be to look for a second on that motion. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Director Dean?
May I further amend the motion that Tom just made? Okay. So if we are going to refer...
Friendly, right? My motion, friendly amendment, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So it's a friendly amendment to Director Gray's
friendly amendment.
Correct?
Pardon me. There's no second yet.
Well, it's seconded. You can't amend it.
Can amend them.
I will. Do you want to second it and then amend it? Or, I mean, I will second it. How about that?
Thank you.
And then, Director Dean, do you?
Okay. So if we are going to refer this back to staff for the reasons that Director Gray said, then I would like this staff to bring back the report at either this upcoming meeting or the first meeting in April. I do not want this to drag on forever. I would like to get this taken care of. Right. So if Tom would like to repeat his amended motion so I can make sure we're in agreement, then I will agree to the friendly amendment. But I do think, no, I can't, because someone has to second my amendment to his amendment.
So,
can Don speak?
I just want to warn Karen that I will not accept Mr. Gray's, Director Gray's motion as a friendly amendment. So I still insist that we follow the procedure, because I happen to disagree quite a bit with what Director Gray has proposed. So no, I do not accept that. But that means that you can still go forward. We are now discussing Director Gray's motion.
Okay, but...
I can restate the motion, because it has been seconded with Director Dean's amendment. Rather than read the whole thing over, I would say that where I say it is moved that the CCSD staff and legal counsel be directed to report back to the board at the, let's say, the first meeting in April. Was that workable? Because I think this next meeting next week, I think, is there's too much on their plate already. The first meeting in April, does that work?
Legal counsel shaking his head.
Just a moment, please. So, Ms. Duffield?
So the first meeting in April or the second meeting in April would be better, because you have to consider, if you want this on next Thursday's agenda, we would have to have that staff report done and all the research done by close of business tomorrow to meet the posting requirement.
Yeah, so
that would pretty much be impossible for us to sit and have a conversation, brainstorm, you know, all the things that would need to be changed and the impacts of those changes. to be able to bring that back to the board. I just don't think that could happen in the next 24 hours. So April would be a much better situation.
That's my sense too. Did Mr. Carmel want to say something? I should go back, defer to the chair on that, but.
No, I was going to say the same thing. We can't do it in the meeting on the 18th.
Okay, so I accept the amendment as proposed by Director Dean, which would put a deadline of, I think it's April, what's the date? The April.
It would be the second meeting in April.
Can I withdraw what I said?
About what?
Okay, so I don't think I clarified clearly enough what I wanted to say when I seconded, and I would like to hear what Director Howell said has to say about it, if that is permissible.
Sure.
Since he was the second to the initial motion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there an action outstanding to this second one that we need to take first, Mr. Carmel, or can we go back immediately to Director Howell's motion?
This is a discussion.
We're still discussing. We have two motions right now. We have a substitute motion and the original motion. So when discussion's complete, you would take the substitute motion first.
Right.
But we're still in the process of the discussion, correct?
Right.
Substitute motion, yeah.
So if may I, Madam President, then may I proceed to discuss my problem with the motion as it was stated is that it's not definite enough for what I would prefer to see, and it may be well, Director Gray, that you actually intended it this way. We understand that implementation of a name change can take time, and certain areas may take more time than others. That is understood. However, I will not accept a situation, at least if there's a majority. Clearly, I'll have to if I'm in the minority, but I would not want to accept a situation where staff is coming back to us and telling us whether we can or cannot change the name. It is for us to decide what to do and direct staff to let us know, give us a schedule for implementation. And so I don't want to hear from staff a bunch of suggestions for names, and I don't want to hear from staff a whole lot of reasons why we can't do it. What I want to hear from staff is when can they get it done?
Well, I didn't hear in what Director Gray was suggesting in a motion that in some way that the staff would be directing us what needed to happen. It was a matter of being able to refer back to them for the impacts in terms of their work content.
Well,
and what they've got going on to be able to provide a reasonable timeline for implementation. That was the only thing. And there wasn't anything about discussion of other names. It was specifically addressing a particular name.
Well, if I may I hear the motion again? Because that isn't what I heard. So perhaps
okay.
I may.
Okay.
Yeah, now just before I read it again, I do think we do need, before the name is changed, we need to know what, and I'm saying we are directing that the name be changed. However, we do need to know, we do need to take a final vote on it after we've been given a complete report on what the implications are, if there are any. We have to be told, we have to find out from the staff, first of all, if there are problems, potential problems, costs, especially with, say, changing the name on the bills and things like that, what it would actually amount to, so that we'd make an informed decision. I mean, this is starting the process of changing the name. I don't think you can change it all today because we have to work through a staff that has a complicated mission here. And so I do think it expresses our intent to change the name, and that we are directing the staff to come back with us and say, this is what it will do. This is what it will take. We'll carry it out. We're not going to change our minds, I don't think. But we do need to know what we're doing. We do need to know the details, the costs, the potential legal impacts of our R&E, all the pitfalls. So this is like a first reading. It's like a first reading of a measure, I think. And that's a good way to look at it. And the second reading is when they come back with the report. That's how I see it.
Director Howell, or Vice President Howell?
Yeah, sorry, I don't need to get back and forth on that, but I'm still not hearing that. See, what I'm hearing is that staff comes back and then we decide whether it's too expensive or whether it's practical or whether it's not. And I really am not looking for that. I think that staff has, I think officially changing the name today and directing staff to come back to us with a schedule so they can decide what's reasonable for them to do, a schedule for implementation. But what I don't want to hear, I mean, there's what I don't want to see is what I hear you proposing is let us see if this is a practical thing to do or not, because I've already made up my mind on that. It's not going to change.
Right. No. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. And I guess, you know, here we get to semantics, I guess, because that I didn't hear it in that. I mean, what I heard was here's the name. Tell us what kinds of impacts would happen and what the practical schedule for implementation is.
Well, maybe we could hear it again because I still haven't. I heard Director Gray's explanation, but it's the word. The motion itself is what counts. So can we hear?
Right.
Yeah. Well, now maybe I should read it. If I changed a word or two here in reading it over because I have it written down, it might be better. Let me just make a note here. Okay, again, the language, the purpose, to provide a clear description of the facility now labeled as SWF. It is moved that the, let me reword it slightly so I can, in this new version? Okay. It is moved that it is the intent of the CCSD Board of Directors to change the name of the facility to Water Reclamation Facility, period, with the understanding that any name change will not revise or impact the CDP application, including the facility's project description that is currently in active county review. The CCSD staff and council are hereby directed to report back to the board on the costs, feasible timing, and potential effects of renaming the facility or implementing the name change. Let's say that, period. And then I still think we have to look at the details of what we're doing, but it's our statement of intent. Maybe we should say it that way.
I'm almost there, but not quite. Again, I don't want to get back and forth, so it's not my turn. I'll come back to that. Forgive me. I think Ms. Director Farmer had his hand up before me.
Okay, Director Farmer.
Yes, I would like to hear what the initial motion maker has to say, which is Director Dean. Thank you.
Before I respond, Vice President Howell had his hand up again. Do you want to let him speak first?
I think it might be well for me to shut up for a minute and let's hear you, I think, if you don't mind.
Okay. I do not like the part of Director Gray's motion where it says intent. I want to say that we are moving to change the name to the Water Reclamation Facility and that we are then directing staff to investigate what is involved with changing the name with all of the agencies, all the documents, whatever needs to be changed, and a timeline for that. And to bring us back a report at the first meeting in April. But I do not like the intent to change the name. We are moving to change the name to the Water Reclamation Facility.
I'll try this wording then. It is moved that the CCSD board direct CCSD staff to change the name of the facility now known as the SWF to the Water Reclamation Facility with the understanding, yada, yada. I shouldn't say that. It's not official. With the understanding that any name change will not revise or impact the CDP application, including the facility's project description that is currently in active county review. The staff and legal counsel are further directed to report back to the CCSD board at the first meeting in April 2021 on details of implementation of the name change.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you repeat, please? the part you said about the project description.
Okay. On the understanding of the, with the understanding that any name change will not revise or impact the CDP application, including the facilities project description that is currently in active county review.
I suggest you put adversely in there because it could have some impact. And I don't want there to be an excuse to turn around and undo what we've done. Sorry, I didn't mean to, sorry. Speaking without being knowledge, sorry.
The difficulty could be in determining what is adverse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it should be, I think what we're looking for is a name change that is, as Director Dean was saying earlier, is kind of like a cover letter. It shouldn't have any, if we do it right, it shouldn't have any impact on any of the internal, on anything else that's going on now. It, of course, it has an impact in the future on what the public knows and understands, but it doesn't change anything ongoing, including the project description and the CDP process. We want to avoid upsetting that or skewing it or anything like that. That was my intent of saying that.
Yeah.
So, Ms. Duffield, I know you had your hand up for a period of time. Was there a comment for you?
Yes, thank you. So, I would please request that added to the motion is that it doesn't adversely affect our current loan.
No, it won't.
That's my biggest concern, and I haven't broached that question to the financing agency. So mm-hmm. we're saying that we want to make sure that it doesn't adversely affect the CDP permit that's in process, but we also have a very large loan balance that's at stake that we don't want to jeopardize either.
Okay.
Erin?
Director Dean?
Okay. I have Appendix B of the loan agreement in my hand. And the last paragraph of Appendix D is description of project. The project is more fully described in the Cambria Emergency Water Supply Title 22 Engineering Report dated June 2014. It's the last sentence that applies, but I'm gonna read the whole paragraph, which is incorporated here and by reference. As provided in section 3.2 of this agreement, the district has the right to specify the exact scope, nature, and identification of the project and the respective components thereof, and to modify the description of the project and any component thereof. So I don't see that changing the name is going to affect the loan agreement. I would like, since the agenda item itself was simply discussion and consideration regarding renaming the facility and had nothing whatsoever to do with the project description, I would second Tom Gray's amendment if he took the sentence about the project description out, because we're only talking about the name, and the county has already let us know that changing the name of the project will not change our project application and its process. I would like to bring forward at a later date the project description. So I don't want that as part of this motion.
Now my motion was seconded, I believe, by
Karen.
By me.
Karen, oh, okay.
So may I chime in?
Sure.
Certainly.
I think maybe the thing to do is it's Tom's motion is beginning to morph into Karen's. So one way to deal with this is to go ahead and put Tom's to a vote. And then if it's defeated, we go and amend Karen's to make it the way we want it. Or we can continue with Tom's and get it into shape. At this moment, I think it might be easier if we simply vote on this substitute motion, and then if it fails, we can deal with Karen's motion. That being the case, I don't see. Wait, I see the
council has his hand up
for the previous question, but let's see what Tim has to say. Huh?
For clarity in the record, since we've had so many different versions of the motion, can we restate it, please?
Okay.
Yeah, I'll restate the motion then, slowly and carefully. So moved to provide a clearer description of the facility now labeled the Sustainable Water Facility, parentheses SWF. It is moved that the CCSD Board of Directors directs the staff and legal counsel to change the name to Water Reclamation Facility, comma, with the understanding that the name change will not revise or impact the CDP application, including the FAC facilities project description that is currently in active canon review, period. It is also, the CCSD board also directs staff and legal counsel to return to report at the first meeting in April 2021 issues involved in implementation of the project. I'll keep it that way. In other words, they give us a report on how it's to be implemented. So that's the extent of it.
Okay.
Report on how the change is to be implemented. Maybe it's the simplest way to put it.
Yeah. Okay. I've got an idea. I want to make a motion to amend this motion. And what I want to do is strike the phrase that begins with the understanding, and it ends, and then it ends where just before the word also. So I move to strike that reference basically to the permitting permits. So it would read the same with everything, which I like, but it takes out that reference to the CDP.
I just want to change the name of the stupid facility.
Well, and I agree. And I think the issue is that the other reference to the CDP in the system description is a clarification and a supporting statement that the only thing that is being addressed is the name, nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's no second on that.
Or at least I'm wrong. That's what I'm assuming in what I hear, Director Graham. Is that the case? Or
yes, that's the purpose of it. It's only the name refers only to the name, and not to any the name being used publicly. Not to the name as it's used in the documents. Not to the documents. All documents that have been submitted so far are for the CDP process are to be remain as they are.
Now, that isn't what I heard.
No. What is it you heard?
What I was hearing in the statement about the CDP and the system description was a name change will not trigger or generate a physical change to the construct of the system description or the CDP. In other words, the system description won't be looked at to change its current structure just because the name is being changed to the facility. We're not going to change elements of the system description.
Mm-hmm. Think so. I mean, I think what we're saying is the project description remains the same, no matter
yes.
what the name.
Yes, the project description remains the same, although the name embedded within it may eventually be the water reclamation facility, depending on what the implementation.
I guess to be clear, maybe to clarify the wording of the motion, the name is to be changed. It's in future references made to it, we'll call it the WRF. And it basically incorporates the SWF by reference wherever it's used. And also when you see the SWF in the CDP application.
Well, it would be WTF, formerly known as
WRF
in documentation.
WRF, yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't have to go back through, comb back through all these things, change the name in the document and resubmit it. Mm. It would be a cover letter, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the idea.
Okay. Director Dean.
I don't know why we're making this so darn complicated.
I don't either.
We just make a motion that we're changing the name to the Water Reclamation Facility and directing staff to come back with a report on what is involved with the implementation of the name and the timeline. Because, like I said, this agenda item was only about the name. We're not talking about changing the project description. We're just talking about changing the name. We're making it way more complicated than it needs to be.
Right. Right. I think that there was just the, as I said, I thought the clarification that was being put there, that was being suggested, was just a reinforcing of the fact that there's nothing changing within the documentation itself. It's just that.
Except the name.
Different.
Yeah.
Director Harrell. President.
Does someone not want to, does anyone want to second my amendment? To get rid of that phrase? I'm proposing to amend Tom's amendment, to amend Tom's motion to get rid of the reference to the CDP. Or the other choice, simply defeat the substitute motion and go back to Karen's. So if nobody seconds me, I'm gonna move for the previous question and let's get forward.
Tom, I don't think anyone seconded Tom's substitute motion.
Karen seconded it.
No, she didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
No one has seconded mine yet? Okay.
No.
Director Farmer's had his hand up for quite a while, too.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Okay, Director Farmer?
When I think back to what has taken place over the past 6 years with regard to this facility, when I reflect on the confusion that exists with regard to the coastal development permit application. And when I just, listen to this discussion here, I really do feel that with regard to how the community will listen to this and just what has taken place, that water treatment facility is definitely the most appropriate name for this facility. That's I know that's not going to fly, but that's just how I've been feeling and listening to everything that's been going on. I just want to add a little humor to what's been taking place. Thank you.
Director Gray.
If there's no second to my motion, then we should just go back to Vice President Howell's motion, right?
All right.
Stop discussion of my motion. Let's just,
Mr. Carmel, maybe you kept track of this better than I.
Yeah, I didn't.
Okay, and we may find out that when we go back and take a look at this in viewing that somehow there was a second that happened in there. For some reason, I have a vague remembrance of that. If that isn't the case, then let's move on and then just go back to the original motion that Director Dean had made. And Director Dean, I think that you were able to define that rather succinctly there just at the end, the last time you spoke. Is that possible for you to reiterate
for us? Very shortly. I move that we change the name of the water treatment facility that is presently known as the EWS or SWF to the Water Reclamation Facility, and direct staff to come back to the board with a report on what is involved and the timeline of the implementation of the name change, and bring that report back to the first meeting in April.
Second.
Okay, and Director Murray has just seconded that. All right, and just for sanity's sake, I just want to touch base with Finance Manager Duffield just to see if the timeline on that is something that can be is within the reasonable capability to do.
So coming back in April would work perfectly.
Okay, so the first meeting in April would be that'd be April 8th.
Either the first or the second, whatever the board's decision is, we could make either one work. We just would not be able to make next week work.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I just wanted to get that clarification. Director Dean?
We generally, usually, this meeting's the exception. We usually have much shorter meetings on the first meeting of the month because it doesn't involve all the reports. So I would prefer the first meeting of the month.
Right.
So
me too, yeah.
Thank you. So we have a first and a second on that. So Osana, could you please take the roll?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. There is echo.
That's okay.
All right. What Director Dean said, and so Director Dean, well, I've written it down many times, but how do you vote?
Aye.
And Director Gray?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
I'm reluctantly going to say aye. I wish it was still the emergency water supply project, but I'll reluctantly say aye.
Vice President Howell?
I say aye.
And President Seidel?
Aye. So the motion
is
5-0. All right. Cheers. I believe that with that being, yes, Director Dean?
I apologize. I realize we spent a lot of time on this and we have very little time left, but I really would appreciate if we could have just a brief 5-minute comfort break.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
How about 4:30?
Yep.
That works.
Sure. Okay, we'll come back in then at 4:30. Thank you.
Thank you.
All board members are back.
Okay.
President Steidel?
Yes, Director Farmer.
Yes. I don't know. I'm assuming that legal counsel has returned. I'd like to ask him a question.
All right.
I'm here.
All right. And Mr. Carmel, I probably already know the answer to this, but is it possible for me to amend my vote on the last item?
No.
Okay. All righty. Thank you.
You could try for a motion to reconsider the item.
No, it's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What we will do then is move on to agenda item 4D. And GM Weichold, if you could introduce the item for us.
Yes, President Steidel. Agenda item 4D is discussion and consideration for the current intent to serve board ad hoc committee to investigate potential action to suspend all active intent to serve letters. Staff recommends that the board discuss and consider directing the current intent to serve board ad hoc committee to investigate potential action to suspend all active intent to serve letters. As the board knows, the board established the intent to serve ad hoc committee in December at its December 17th regular board meeting, with initial tasks to include evaluating current policy and developing recommendations for the board to consider regarding modifications to current policy and related admin policy procedures. So the staff is recommending that the board discuss and consider additional direction for the current intent to serve board ad hoc committee to investigate potential action to suspend all active intent to serve letters.
All right. Thank you. So I'll ask, shall we take public comment first? All right. So are there any members of the public who would like to address the board on this item? Osana?
Yes. Tina Dickinson, go ahead.
Well, board, Tina Dickinson, I can't believe what we've just had to sit through, quite frankly. And if this is any indication of what this board is capable or incapable of doing, I do not look forward to what's coming up in the future. This was a dismal display of a board that I had
Ms. Dickinson, do you have a comment regarding agenda item 4D?
Listen, after what you just put us through, I think I have the right to say what I just said. I don't have any hope for the next agenda item after what I just listened to. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickinson. Osana?
Christine Heinrichs, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. The board does not need to ask the ad hoc committee to advise on suspending all intent to serve letters. You have more than enough information to make that decision now. It's long overdue. The Coastal Commission has provided the legal and environmental documentation to stop allowing these applicants to add new water users to Cambria's already overpumped creeks. The Coastal Commission has dispensed with the legal fiction of previous commitments in several staff reports, including those on Hudsinski in 2012, Kingston Bay in 2013, Ariana in 2017, Swift and Hadian in 2019, Satimi in 2020, and others. Any arguments in favor of adding new users have long since been dismissed. Cambria is currently damaging the creeks, a valued coastal resource, in the amount being withdrawn to meet current demand of residents and visitors. CZLUO Section 23.04.430 requires that adequate water also be provided to protect significant coastal resources, including habitat for protected wildlife. It's part of Cambria's responsibility. Allowing these letters to circulate gives false encouragement to those who want to expand Cambria. Note that one applicant has renewed his application after it was once denied by the Coastal Commission and has been told it will be denied again. The district is misleading these applicants by continuing to approve these applications. No need to do anything further with the ad hoc committee to consider issues that have long since been settled. I ask the board to suspend action on all attempts to add users under any guise, intent to serve letters, transferred meters, meter exchanges, whatever. Don't wait until, as one commissioner said in the November meeting, they put up a billboard in Cambria saying, don't believe these people. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hendricks. Osana?
Yes. Ted Key, please go ahead.
Good afternoon again, board. I just need to echo what Ms. Heinrichs just said. It is just absurd that this question has come before the board yet again. It is an embarrassment to the district. It is an embarrassment to the county. For God's sakes, use your common sense and end these ITS letters. It's beyond the great beyond. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Key. Osana?
Elizabeth Bettenhausen, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary and Madam President. I had not intended to speak on this issue, but I do want to now to observe something that came up in the initial public comment. I was stunned when self-help housing had to bring up the issue of not having an adequate intent to serve letter from you. I thought this had been gone through before, and he drew your attention to the distinction between will serve letters and intent to serve letters. I have before me a document summarizing the issue from January 1980 to November of 2004. I don't suppose you really want me to forward that. But what I would like you to do, Board of Directors of the Cambria Community Services District, is let this ad hoc committee take a look at what you asked them to do when you established the committee. Don't add any more new work, because you don't know what you're talking about on this issue. I'm not being impolite, friends. I am pointing out that you now have before you a major question of affordable housing and the intent to serve and the will to serve letters issues. So you've got work to do. You are not prepared to do it. Let the ad hoc committee do what you already asked them to do. And let's get done by 5 o'clock when the President of the United States addresses us. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. And Osana?
Yes, Gordon Heinrichs, go ahead.
Hello again, Board. It's an exciting day. This is something true to my heart, and that I have to attend these meetings at the county when they go through the intent to serve letters that Cambria has stamped with no indication at all that there's any water supporting those intent to serve letters. So all they do is when Bruce Gibson gets it, he reads it and says, wow, this says, oh, intent to serve from Cambria. No problem there. What they tell us, they have to have water if they're going to give us one of these. And he rubber stamps it every time. And this is not going very clear because they're kicking it over to the Coastal Commission. And then Coastal Commission says, what the hell is Cambria doing? So that's where we're trying to get the research done ahead of time instead of getting these grandfathers pipelines and all this undercover stuff that are just smoke and mirrors. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Heinrichs. I believe that is it as far as public comments. So it'll come back to the board and I open it for a conversation with the directors. Director Dean, you're on mute.
Okay, first I just want to clarify something from one of the public comments. Boris, Steve Puglisi was representing Boris Pilch, who wanted to do the 12 affordable housing buildings below, between Londonderry and Green. This was not people's self-help housing. Boris Pilch, I think, gave up his intent to serve letter when he decided to switch over to affordable housing and went back on the wait list. And so now he's looking at affordable housing again, from what I understand, and wants to get an intent to serve letter to move forward. At least that's the impression I got. But if it's okay with you, President Steidel, can we have legal counsel explain the difference between active intent to serve letter and a will serve letter for an existing commitment for which we have a legal obligation? Is that possible? Am I incorrect in asking that? I see there's probably a point of order from Director Howell.
I want to throw something in before counsel asks, because I kind of have a similar question. And I did a search on our code, and there is no reference to will serve letters in our code. I think it's a county term, and even that it isn't used very consistently. So I think unless I'm mistaken or I've missed something, we have two things. We issue intent to serves and we issue connection permits. I don't know that there is, in fact, another document called a will serve. It certainly isn't in our code. Anyway, so that's, I just wanted to add that to the question to counsel.
Okay. So I certainly don't have any problem with counsel addressing those two items for clarification. It's just that we're talking about the idea of sending an item to the ad hoc committee that doesn't have anything to do with will serve.
Right.
So Director Dean,
But it appears that the public thinks that they're the same thing. And what we're looking at is active intent to serve letters only according to this agenda item.
Interesting.
And that's why I wanted it clarified what is an active intent to serve letter for versus what is a grandfathered or existing commitment. And
well, it's actually the difference then between commitments and active intent to serves.
And Director Farmer may want to add to that question too, since he has his hand up.
Well, I'm not necessarily going to add to what Director Dean is speaking to. I was just going to immediately address the item itself. Okay. As opposed to, you know, clarifying all of the different will serve versus intent to serve and so forth.
Right. I mean, we could get into another 45-minute conversation about the differences between all of the different elements. And I don't know if that's what we're trying to do. We want to address this. And I think part of what that overall ad hoc committee is for is to work with staff resources to define all of those things and then bring that back to the board and to the public with some very specific definitions.
Well, if I could just say this.
Mr. Director Farmer, I had recognized Director Dean. She had her hand up.
All I'm asking is to clarify exactly what an active intent to serve letter for the purpose of this agenda item.
Okay. All right.
I know the ad hoc committee is looking at the differences.
That's my understanding.
I just want the clarification of what we're talking about when on this agenda item when we say active intent to serve
letter. Okay. That's all right. Director Farmer?
I just wanted to make the comment, that yesterday Director Dean and myself met with
Director Farmer. I'm sorry for interface. Is it possible that you have papers in front of you that are either over your phone or over your speaker because we can't hear you and there's just a rustling of paper?
All right, no problem. Sorry, my apologies. So yesterday, Director Dean and myself met with Ray D'Enzo, our utilities manager, and with his associate. I can't recall her exact title, Melissa Bland. And so we asked her, what's the current district policy regarding intent to serve letters? And I wrote down what she said. Due to the moratorium, no new intent to serve letters are to be issued with the exception of the low-income housing on Schoolhouse Lane. And that was pretty much what she said. And they're working on the active CDP for that particular item. But other than that, we're not issuing any further intent to serve letters. And if I could just read something from a previous item with regard to desiring an intent to serve letter from the Coastal Commission. This is what the Coastal Commission, in their finding, which denied the intent to serve letter. The community of Camry does not have adequate water supply available to serve its existing users, much less a new water connection proposed in the current project, which is the previous Hadean project. Best available information suggests that even existing water extractions have adverse impacts to Santa Rosa and San Simeon Creeks. And that's kind of where we're at. So we really can't issue any further intent to serve letters just for of no other reason than the environmental impacts.
Right. And in actuality, this is talking to that. It's not suggesting that there are any new ones. It's bringing a point of information back to the ad hoc committee about active intent to serve letters, which are still on the books. Not that there are any new ones that are being suggested. Director Gray?
Yeah, maybe going back to Director Dean's original question, I would like to also hear what these letters are. There's just a handful of them, I know. What they're for and how they are different from will serve or whatever
okay. The
other letter is that we're talking about. Because that was the original question, and I'm curious about that too.
Right. Well, but that was the intent of taking it back to the ad hoc committee to define all of that and then to bring it back. But I mean, we could get an answer by having Mr. Carmel address this now and not even have to take an action on this agenda item if that's what's trying to be
maybe
accepted. I mean, Mr. Carmel?
Short answer. An intent to serve letter is a letter from the district indicating its intent to provide water and sewer service most of the time to an applicant that the applicant needs in order to file an application for a development proposal with the county. It has a defined date, and that's all it is. There are very few of them. I think there are five of them, and some of them have issues. As opposed to a will serve letter, and these terms are not used they're not used by the county and they're not used by the Coastal Commission in the same way they're used by the district. A will serve letter is a letter that's been issued to an existing customer who's connected to the district. They may not have developed their parcel yet. In our case, there are only eight of them, I believe. They're all lots in the Leimert tract. And the way they were issued is because we entered into a settlement agreement back in, I think, 1999, in right. which I won't get into the dispute, but the culmination of that dispute was we agreed to provide water service and sewer service to some of the lots, to 18 lots in the Leimert tract. The ones that still don't have development on them have live will serve letters.
Because I thought that's, yeah. My other question is just to make clear on the, because the people's self-help housing came up in discussion. This doesn't apply to that project.
They have an approval from the Coastal Commission. Yeah, they're implementing some of the conditions of approval at this point.
Right. So the only reason that intent to serve exists, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Carmel, is that the people's self-help is working through and making sure that it's aligned to the requirements the Coastal Commission requested of them.
That's correct.
To be able to apply their approval. So that's just a timing issue. It doesn't have anything to do with a new intent to serve or trying to remove that capability or that intent to serve from them. It's just that happens to be one of the five, not all of whom have active intent to serve. They've actually gone past their time frame, some of them.
That's correct. If this action was taken and you got a recommendation back from the ad hoc to suspend everything, it wouldn't affect that project.
Thank you.
My question.
Okay. Director Howell?
I'm a little puzzled. I mean, I see that I'm aware that some of these, well, people's self-help is a good example. If they don't break ground within a certain period of time, they're going to have their letter extended. And by the same token, some of the other active letters that are out there, if those people are not, if they're delayed due to the drought or anything else, we may be coming up. There may be additional requests for extension. I think. And so I think this may be kind of the area that you may have been talking about, President Steidel, where these are, in fact, active intent to serves that we may need to develop some kind of policy regarding those in view of the fact that since we don't, well, right now it's raining, so it's hard to talk about drought, but there could be water issues at the time that those come forward for renewal, and we might need to just create some kind of policy regarding those. Do we really need to, it seems to me this is already in the purview of the ad hoc. I kind of wonder if we need to give them additional direction or whether this discussion is sufficient.
Well, as we have them here with us, we should ask. Director Dean?
Okay, so according to the motion that was made when we formed this ad hoc committee and the direction we were given, it had nothing to do with policy. It was to come up with recommendations for methodology
to bringing information on all new hookups to the board for transparency, for discussion, and informing the public on their background and the board requirements of them. The policy part of it was not part of our direction at that time. I am quoting what the motion was. Okay, so it was not put under our purview to create a policy regarding intent to serve letters. This agenda item is asking us to investigate the potential actions involved in suspending the active intent to serve letters, of which it is true, it is only a handful. People Self-Help Housing has already gone through the Coastal Commission and has been approved. And they have, I don't have my paperwork in front of me, but they believe they have until 2022 to complete the requirements that the Coastal Commission has asked of them before they possibly come forward to ask for it to be extended. Several of the other ones have expired. So we're only talking about a few of these, and we were not directed to begin with to come up with a policy. And it appears to me that what you're asking us for now on just the active ones, not on any potential new ones, which we can't issue anyway because of the moratorium.
True statement. So I have to stop for a moment because we're coming up close on our time frame. And so I have to ask for an extension of the meeting, particularly since we already have a closed session that's going to follow this. And we have one more agenda item.
I move that the meeting be extended to 5:30.
Okay.
Second.
All right. And affirmation by hands.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. And Director Gray.
I just make a comment to kind of close out the topic. Hopefully, it sounds like we asked the subcommittee, the ad hoc committee, for more of a report on a list of what was out there in terms of commitments, intent to serve letters, and so forth. Mm-hmm. I just see continuing this item if at all, because I don't think we have a policy decision to make today, do we?
No, we don't.
No.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
Okay. Director Dean?
We're not quite ready for a report on what we're doing. We're still gathering a little bit more information, but this agenda item has nothing to do directly with what our report that we were initially asked to provide has to do. This is adding something to our direction to come back with a recommendation for. So it's a separate issue being put on top of what we're already asked to do.
Right.
Director Howell. Oh. Vice President Howell.
That's all right. I stand corrected in my thinking on that. It sounds like maybe this is an agenda item that might want to come up in conjunction with their report, perhaps. It seems to me, and then hopefully that maybe, I don't know that we need to discuss too much more of it. This is a reminder to myself and others. This ad hoc was put forth because we wanted to, while we're in these hard times, and where we are often having to approve things before legal reasons, for example, contractual obligations, or perhaps something's on a table of existing commitments. And the issue has been our code allows ministerial approval of those, anything under 3 EDUs. The issue now is that while we need these to come before the board, so only so that the public can see and understand why we are granting some of these things which they will otherwise not be clear about. Hadean is a very good example. That was a contractual obligation. There was no way out of it, but it would have helped if that discussion had been part of a report, say from the manager or something, or from counsel, and just brought for us. We would still have approved it, but at least people would have seen it and get out of this. I know we're all honest, but I'm not sure everybody out there, they're still not trusting us a lot, and they're seeing backroom dealings when they don't exist. So that was my thought on that. So may I suggest that we just table this until they come back with a report? And then, because that sounds like maybe that's the next step.
Yeah.
Director Dean?
if you want this item on active intent to serve letters being possibly suspended, a policy on that, you need to add this to, you need to give this to the ad hoc committee to work on if you want it part of the report that we're going to bring back.
That would be my suggestion, okay. Right? It's just an added element of what you're looking at already, and you can incorporate it as part of your overall report.
We can include it in our report if you go ahead and issue this direction to the ad hoc committee so we can do it all in the report. And yet, right. That's what we're working on is a report for clarity and public transparency. Okay. So may I make a motion?
You may.
I move that we direct the current intent to serve board ad hoc committee to investigate the potential action to suspend all active intent to serve letters.
Good. Okay. Second.
Okay. Thank you. And that's seconded by Director Howell. Any additional comment? All right, we'll move it to roll then. Asana, please.
Yes, for Director Dean Hertz to direct the current board ad hoc committee to investigate potential action to suspend all active intent to serve letters. Director Dean, how do you vote?
Aye.
Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Director Gray?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
And Vice President and President Seidel?
Aye.
Okay.
Five ayes. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. That brings us back to item B on the agenda. And GM Weigold, if you would introduce this for us, please.
Yes, President Steidel. Agenda item 4B is discussion of the policy committee's work plan and consideration of establishing a board ad hoc committee to inventory existing district policies and make recommendations to the board. Staff recommends that the board of directors discuss the policy committee's work plan and consider establishing a board ad hoc committee to inventory those existing policies and make recommendations to the full board. As attachments here, we've provided a index of the Cambria Community Services District Policy Handbook, as well as a latest update from February of the Policy Committee's Chairman report to the full board. On the status of existing topics that they have been considering and on their agenda.
Okay, thank you very much. So I first I'll take it to public comment, please. And Osana?
Yes, Ted Key, go ahead.
Good afternoon again. I have survived acute meeting narcolepsy to speak on this particular item. I have no idea why you need an ad hoc committee to jump in on the policy committee's work. We are doing a good job wading our way through this work, and we have been submitting our proposals to you almost every time. And all I can say is, I don't see why you need an ad hoc committee to do the work that Director Howell has been doing extremely effectively. He has a list of all the things that we have done. He has a list of all the things that are in process. We have been making as good a progress as we can make. The problem has been, and I hate to say this, my friends, but the problem has been bogging down with the board itself. And all I can say is, if we need a poster child for bogging down this afternoon, we got one on this EWS item. That's all I can say. This thing is an absolute, it's ridiculous. I'm sorry, but you don't need this ad hoc committee to oversee the work that we're already doing. I am very happy with working with Director Howell. I think that he is doing an excellent job of keeping the records going and so on and so forth. You have your voice right there with Director Howell. I encourage you to use it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Key. And Osana?
Yes, Claudia, go ahead.
Hello again, this is Claudia. I recommend that we use the sample policy handbook, the California Special Districts Association. There's, I think Director Howe told me that there are 4,000 community services districts that have probably had input into this document. You all know, are familiar with it. We started out that way and somehow we got sidetracked on some other things, but I think what we need to do is just get back to the book. And if we start from page one or whatever chapter and move through in a logical manner, I think that that will satisfy your idea for this ad hoc committee, which I do agree with Ted, that I don't understand why we should have an ad hoc committee to tell us what to do. We have a great group. I have to say that we are the best group because we get along, we work well together. We've accomplished a lot. We're always positive in our direction. We have disagreements and we have this wonderful way of being able to compromise and come up with really good ideas and move along with things. And I also agree with Ted that the bogging down has been with the board, seeing what you did with the changing of the name. It was kind of appalling, but, I guess I found it kind of comical too, because it was kind of, it's kind of crazy, but that's what happens. We send you a good policy and then it gets minuscule, something happens to it and you slow it down or you deny it. I'd like to see us using the CSDA book and moving forward in that direction and interspersing other policies that you direct us to look at or things that come up. We have, some of those in the works right now. So can I reserve the right to maybe have a comment about this a little bit later, since I'm on the policy committee, and if there's something that comes up, would I be able to have one more small comment if there's something I'd like to clarify? Okay, thank you.
I'm not understanding what.
Would I be allowed to have one more comment if I haven't used up my 3 minutes? So later on this conversation. Thank you.
Osana? You're muted, Osana.
Hello, this is Gordon.
Gordon Heinrichs, go ahead.
Trying to have trouble here getting things muted and unmuted. I've been involved with the policy committee since the initiation here when it was created. I was fortunate or unfortunate to be the vice chair of that organization and work quite closely with Don Howell in trying to promote the needs of the board, the applications for our duty of the policy manual for using the CSD Association sample book that gives us an outline, which probably 90% of the other communities in this area have used that as their guideline, with obviously certain modifications as appropriate to meet a good, solid policy. And we've been going through that. If you recall, the first couple of months we were in doing this, we went right down the line and accomplished about 6 or 8 policies right out of the book, and they were approved with no problem. Then all of a sudden things went screwy, and then there was other concerns, and I guess that you think that we were not appropriately looking at all the policies that the board wanted to look at. And that is not true, because we're using the book as our guideline to move down through it. And then we do meet the request from the board, and the general manager even gets involved with our meetings to talk about those things he has an interest in. So there's two areas that were actually brought up on the first meeting. And one was the problem with the whistleblowing and harassment. And we've never been able to get that back on the agenda. And this is something that we need to keep forward and bring forth to the board and others that we are meeting our criteria for sustaining the CCSD board's appropriate work. So I think we don't need an ad hoc person in between. That Don has done very well with his summary. All you have to do is read through it and come up with a slate. If you don't agree with this, move them around as a board, and we'll go from there and meet your needs. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Henrys. And seeing no other public comment, I move the discussion back to the board. Are there any directors who would like to make comment in this? So, Director Howell, as you are the the chair of the policy committee, do you have comment? You are still muted, just so you know.
Thank you. See, I'm having trouble. I'm leaving myself unmuted when I should be muted. In other words.
Welcome to the club.
Okay. I think I'm not sure. The way I take this item is it's really very specific, and it really relates to something that I've been doing. I originally thought I might be able to involve some policy committee members in this work, but it's found that it was just a little too demanding and required a certain amount of access to staff materials and staff time, so I didn't feel comfortable laying additional work on the committee members. And the project that I'm speaking of basically is to inventory the policies that we have, and then using the CSDA policy handbook as sort of a list of all the possible policies anybody could ever want to determine whether we have any, whether there's anything missing. Are there areas that maybe we should have policies that we don't? And also to look to see if there are things that may perhaps need to be updated. So, but the first issue is simply an inventory, to inventory what's there, what's been changed, what staff feels they would like to have changed. And that is something that I think two directors, it's an appropriate job for two directors, because the output from that, the output of the inventory will show where the work needs to be focused, and it will allow the policy committee to then move more quickly into those areas. So it doesn't necessarily contradict what some of the policy committee members were saying in terms of the way in which they've been doing their work. And I don't think, President Steidel, you and I have talked about this, and I don't think that the intent here is to correct or some way redirect.
No.
Yeah, it seems to be, it was more precisely focused on this one issue. And it's this inventory, which I started months ago, and I haven't been doing it for a while. It's rather time consuming. So what I would like is an ad hoc committee consisting of me. And if I may ask, Director Gray, I would appreciate it if you would consider joining me. Because I would like to, and it will involve that we will need to contact staff. We'll need access to their P drive. We'll need to be able to locate, because sometimes there are issues where documents are in multiple incarnations. Mm-hmm. There may be one edition that's in a printed book. There may be another one online and another one on the web. It's very interesting. Because we're dealing with stuff that has developed over a course of years, you know. So of course, like anybody's closet or like my garage, it's just filled. So Tom, if you
I'd be happy, I'd be happy to do that.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Obviously up to the board, but
well, that sounds like an excellent. And I apologize. I hope I wasn't interrupting you, Dr. Howell.
No, just to move it forward. I don't know if we need a motion, but if we do need one, I simply move that this ad hoc be created to inventory existing district policies and make recommendation to the board, and that the ad hoc committee consists of myself, Vice President Howell, and Director Gray.
I'll second that.
All right. Any other discussion from the board? All right, we'll move to roll then, please. Osana?
Yes. Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Move to inventory. Go ahead. Okay. Yes. Vice President Howell?
Director Dean.
I got it.
And Director Farmer.
It was, I believe the second was
Director Dean.
Was Director Dean. Dean.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Director Farmer.
I couldn't hear Director Farmer.
Director Farmer.
Aye.
Okay.
Director Gray.
Aye.
And President Seidel.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Seems like you're saying a word for that.
a little bit of sound problem here.
Yeah. So I would move them with the completion of the regular business to future agenda items. Are there any future agenda items to put forward at this time?
I'd like to offer the possibility of discussing the ban on polystyrene and perhaps the district writing a letter of support for continuing the ban.
Okay.
All right.
And that would need to come up, Director Farmer. When do we need to do that in order to?
You know, actually, now that I think about it, it's probably too late to put it on next week's agenda, and it would need to be, you know, before sometime in early April. So I guess it's probably a bit too late. So I would just encourage individual members of the board to write a letter of support on this item. Okay.
GM Weigold, you had your hand up.
Oh, I was just going to add for Director Farmer, the staff report is ready to go pending District Council's review for next week's agenda, if you wish.
Let's.
Oh, all right. It's already been staged for the second meeting agenda?
Correct.
Excellent. Cool. Okay.
Thank you.
Excellent. Good news.
Because the timing, it had been discussed some because the timing was so tight on it. I mean, that second hearing was for the 14th of April. And so.
Yeah, we'll make it. That's good.
Okay.
Excellent. And I have one.
All right.
The timing is not so crucial on this, but I did bring to the board the policy committee's recommendation, suggesting that the board do have a lighting policy and asking that the board, if they want one, to task the policy committee with creating that. And it got lost and it got pushed down to another agenda item and then got lost. So I would like to bring that back, but President Steidel, you and I can talk about what, I mean, it doesn't have to be in the next meeting, but we don't want to.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. We can certainly discuss that at the agenda review then. Thank you, Director Howell. Director Dean.
I just wanted to make sure that we do have on the agenda for the first meeting of April the staff report on the name change.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Any other? Okay.
Good.
That being said, then, I will call a completion to today's board meeting so that we can now adjourn to closed session.
Do we need to have public comment on closed session?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Agenda item 6.
That's normally you announce the closed session and then you.
Okay.
And so is there any public comment on the closed session?
The general manager had his hand up.
Okay, seeing none, I bring it back to the general manager.
President Steidel, I was just going to suggest perhaps considering an extension, given that we're about to switch over and it may get tight for the 5:30 deadline.
All right, that's probably a good suggestion. Any comment from? Unfortunately, I don't have any idea how long it'll be necessary for us to take the closed session, but. Why don't we say until 5:45 to at least get us there, and then if necessary, we can take action from that point. So, Director Dean?
May I request that Osana send us the link for closed session again, because it's buried somewhere in my emails.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. I think that's an excellent idea. Thank you.
Thank you.
Director Gray?
In the meeting to 5:45.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, say again?
Oh, I move that we extend the meeting to 5:45.
Oh, okay, fine. Thank you. And a second on that?
I'll second it.
And by affirmation, thank you. All right. We'll look forward to getting that that link again from Osana and see you on the other side, as it were.
Just for a couple minutes.
This meeting's adjourned. Thank you very much for your time and attention today. Thank you for the public who participated and hung in there to participate in it with us.
Yes, indeed.